Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. As I've said, we're vulnerable at this early. You know what it's like? Here's what it's like. Here's why you can call, you can get in.
Adam's on the phone. Well,
first off, Kyle's not. I don't see Kyle answering the phone, so maybe you can't. But the point
is, I actually just saw the guy. He's here.
He's walking. There he is. All right. 866-901-ADAM.
He's one of my favorite faces to see in the morning.
Later, can you see his face?
Yeah. He just always looks happy, except right now I am describing how happy he should look.
He does.
Has an angelic face.
He does. He was thinking he could be a Hell's Angel who found God.
Kyle's a very good man, and I want to say, there's a lot of good people that work around here, which is nice, and there's a difference. I mean, most of the people you work with aren't going to stab you or take a swing at you or go flatten your car tires or anything like that, but it doesn't make them good people.
Right.
I don't know how everyone's antenna is, but everyone should be in a constant, well, let's put it this way. You know when they put your satellite dish up at your house and there's a guy up on a ladder and there's someone else like you watching the TV set and the guy's banging around a little and he's trying to get it to face the south and then he's like, or the north, whatever direction, south. So he has to face the south and like, but there's that part where you tune it up at the very end where it's like, no, it's better. No, yeah. put it back. Whatever the direction it was, put it back that way just a little. So you get the fine picture. Now, it can be a little off, and you can make out the images on the television, but if you want to get it finely tuned, you have to sort of tap on it, and it's a constant process, and we should all be going through that. I feel like people marry people, partner up with people, have relationships with people, and then it turns out those people are monsters.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
You've heard about that, Danny?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Well, you were paired with somebody that didn't turn out to be so good, but you didn't go out and meet them. We're not talking about Gretchen. We're talking about Danny's old radio partner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. My God.
Oh, well,
can you
there
imagine
you go.
Being teamed up with somebody? I swear to God, I'm going straight to heaven compared to that person.
Well, I sort of love when you go off on her, but before you do that, can I just finish Adam's point, which is that lovable Kyle, who everyone adores that works here, is going to take your calls if you want to call us, because we're vulnerable at 866-901-ADAM.
Well, you know what?
Thank you. I
would prefer to take calls all the time, pretty much anything, because it's easy. But I would like to know what you mean by vulnerable, because I already had an action-packed morning. I'm sure you had all your little incidents this morning. You did, too. So what do you mean by vulnerable?
Well, at this point, I feel like, when you're a kid and your parents were sleeping, you could barge into the room and start asking them anything, and they'd go like, okay. But they would accept what you had to say, as opposed to if they were in their office and they were up and they were doing something or on the phone and you came in and they'd go,
right.
Not now, son. Oh. Right. Not now. Daddy's busy. He's on a very important phone call, as opposed to,
Yes, you can have those.
Yes, take the keys. The heroin is in the shoebox.
It's fine.
It's not in the shoebox.
The entry closet.
Don't go to my house looking at my shoebox. You'll find money for the heroin. Then I don't keep it home.
Look, call's already come but in, the but
reason,
continue.
The reason I just say I wondered about vulnerable is because I start my day, I think, earlier than all of us, and probably finish a little earlier. Like, so, if you ask me, so what's new, Danny, I'm kind of, like, bummed already.
You mean you've been up? Things have gone on
in
your life.
Yeah, and something has already gone
wrong
in a kind of major way for me. I decided
something's gone wrong between 4 a.m. and now?
Yes.
Really?
Really, in a concerning way wrong. Yeah.
Really? What happened?
I've decided to try and get in cardiovascular shape. You know, I've got good muscles. I look like I'm in shape, but I'm not. A flight of stairs kills me.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I'm going to really step up the cardio.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that, dude. Hang on. It's over my head.
There you go.
All right. So, do you know what a Polar is?
Mm. No.
It's a wonderful adventure.
I'm the polar opposite of no.
I've got it with me. And that is a transmitter. And a wristwatch that comes with it that's an actual wristwatch is a receiver of your heart rate.
Are you going to blow yourself up, Danny?
No.
You're going to blow yourself up way for prime time.
They go for like $50 up to $300. I can't make the one above $50 work because it does too much stuff. Mm-hmm. All it does is tell you your heart rate. And at my age, I should be between 112 beats a minute and 175 beats a minute. And that way I'm burning fat. Anything under that number, I'm not. Anything over that number, I'm burning muscle.
When you're working out.
Yeah.
So you check it.
To see exactly
right.
that I'm in exactly
so
the right
if,
zone.
So if you're running on the treadmill and you're going too slow, well, then it's under.
And it'll beep at you and say you've got to go faster. It tells you.
Maybe if you're going too hard.
It beeps at you and says you're going too hard. You're burning glycogen. It's
like it.
I can barely work out without it now.
Right.
It's an amazing piece of equipment. That's like literally $49.95. They're amazing.
Really? A Polar.
Yeah, Polar. They're in every sporting goods store. And the first thing in the count. Now Timex is making, everybody's making them. Polar and Venner, they're still the best. But anyway, so I didn't want to forget it. So when I got up at 3 this morning to work out at my home gym, I put it on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have it on when I got to the gym that has cardio equipment.
Right.
I was running late. So I changed my clothes as fast as I could.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, I set my heart rate up to about 145 by changing my clothes fast.
Uh-huh.
What's a normal
heart rate? That's a bad sign.
Normal heart rate resting, changing your clothes, 70.
Mm-hmm. So the idea...
The idea is I'm unbuttoning my shirt is aerobic exercise for me and difficult.
Well,
145 is kicking ass.
Was it a corset of any kind or just a standard shirt?
Dude, I'm not kidding. I'm freaking out. I'm dying.
Wow.
My cancer Danny was funny until I realized 145 lifting a t-shirt over your head.
Well, we're going to get you into shape, Bonaducci.
Yeah.
Bonaducci has a exhibition fight coming up against...
Shapiro.
Are we already going to tell
Shapiro?
About it?
Okay. I don't know.
It's okay with me. I work at the Adam Carolla show. You do whatever you want, man.
Is that news?
Yeah, well, I'm going to work a little with Danny.
Well, yeah, I called Adam.
Get him into shape.
Yeah, I called Adam yesterday. That's why I wore the cardio thing. That's why I realized it yesterday when I wasn't playing around. Because Robert Shapiro, O.J. Simpson's lawyer, figure I should kill him. He's a decade older than me. I'm very strong. I should be able to, without even skills, I should be able to go and club him to death with my right hand. Then I start talking to people. Golden Gloves champion.
Shapiro. Mm-hmm.
2 pro fights, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
My trainer at Wildcard, a very serious trainer, was 70. I couldn't catch him. I couldn't mm-hmm. lay a glove on him. He'd have killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I realize... Dude, what have I got myself into? What if a 60-year-old guy beats my ass in front of people as tough as I talk?
Yeah, you can't sue him either. He'll just represent himself.
Yeah.
Adam, what's your strategy in training Danny?
Get him as a client?
Well, no, I'll tell you what. I have a plan, and hang on, Justin, from your Belinda, yeah. because I got want to talk to you in 1 second.
I just want to take calls. I just want to tell you that like, things happen to me by the time I get here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me take a call, then I'll tell you how... You know, I can't make your lungs bigger, and I can't pull whatever you got in them out of them. But I'll tell you a way to last much longer without bringing up your cardiovascular level.
Good, because I've got there some thoughts on that. That's
beautiful.
By the way, our phone number is 1-866-901-ADAM.
Justin?
Hey, Adam, what's up? How's it going, guys?
Great. Good. It's going good, except for you say you're on line 4 on this phone, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Trying to do it next time.
Don't worry about it, man.
What's happened? It's not your problem. What's
you
going on,
here,
my friend?
All right. Hey, guys. Adam, I listen to you every day. I follow your advice. I remember you saying that there's a couple things you can do to improve your life, like get a good TV. So I went out and I got a 50-inch plasma. Mm-hmm. You said get a good bed. So I went out and I spent like a couple mm-hmm. grand on a great bed. You said get a good car that you enjoy driving. So I went and got a good car. And, like, my life's gotten so much better. I was just wondering if there's any more, like, little tidbits you can give me that I can just improve my daily life.
Before Mr. Kroll answers, can I just say this, that I've never, not only not worked on a show, but I've never had a friend or... any kind of guy in my life like you, where sometimes, and at first, I'll be honest with you, it kind of bothered me, that you would give out advice, and it would become an obvious thing to me that I had that choice to make later in the day, and it would be right.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go with this guy on whatever line he is on, that sometimes your advice, as crazy as I think you are sometimes, sometimes your advice about real life, like if it doesn't make you happy or pay you money, don't do it. Is sound friggin' advice, man.
Yeah,
I think about that a lot when I'm in a certain situation, so I'm with you, buddy.
Well, do you have anything else for Justin?
Well, Justin, I have some little things everybody could do to make their lives just a little bit easier. And I'm not saying this because I love the sound of my own voice. I love a good tip.
Yeah.
You know why? Mostly, although his tips cost $75,000 with the mattress, the big screen TV, and the car.
And I'm just hoping he went to our sponsors, because that makes us look good.
It would be nice, yes.
I hope he went to Sit and Sleep, you bastard.
But the point is a free tip is the best kind of tip. And for me, now these are ones that aren't nearly as glamorous as the ones I just gave you that involve big screen TVs. But rhythm and consistency make your life much easier. When you come home, put your keys in the exact same place every single day. Put your sunglasses in your keys in your wallet in exactly the same place every day. Put a bowl by the front entry on the whatever and put them in the exact same place. And the next morning, when you're in a rush and you go down there and your keys or your wallet or your whatever is not in that bowl that you put them every day, your house has been robbed. There's no searching under the sofa. There's no going upstairs and looking in the pants you're wearing the day before. There's none of it. It is exactly the same place every day. That's one. Number two, be redundant with stuff. I always keep a pair of sunglasses in my car.
So
smart. I will pair. Go. When, next time you're.
I have 50 pair and I never have a pair of sunglasses.
And the thing about it is it doesn't have to be your favorite pair. It just has to be the pair that gets you home after work when you forgot your sunglasses that day. Next time you're at the car wash, go to the $8 bin and grab yourself an $8 pair of sunglasses and toss them in your glove box.
Or if you have the time, go. What I do is either Venice Beach or another place where they're $5 and I buy 10 to 15 pair.
Yeah, buy a handful.
They're almost as cheap as lighters, man, because I lose them like that.
Buy a handful of them, buy a lighter, buy one of those Leatherman things.
I buy racks.
Buy that junk and just toss it into your car. It'll always be there. And as a matter of fact, throw a pair of shorts in your car, too, in case you get in a hoop game or someone's going swimming and you're at a barbecue or whatever. Throw an extra whatever in your car. Put a T-shirt. You may have a one-night stand. You may want to come out at the end of the one-night stand looking like John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction after they blew that kid's head off and they're walking around in the banana slug shirts.
That's at least one I've got so far, but I don't get it from you. Mm-hmm. I have gotten so used to getting kicked out now.
Right.
That I now no longer unpack when I get to come back home. I just leave that bag in the car.
Well, here's another one for Justin. I remember this one, Adam. Make sure your pockets in your sweatpants have a zipper.
When you buy sweatpants, get the ones with the zipper pockets so the stuff, the cell phone, the whatever, doesn't fall out. And speaking of cell phones, take that cell phone and glue on a piece of Velcro to the back of the thing. Like I've done, I'm showing my cell phone right now. Sure, there's a few pubes in it. But the point is
whose are they?
You,
what were the roaming charges?
You're the rat.
You seem like it's a black dude.
You
but
said
that's,
you just wanted to train me.
All I'm saying is that
that's
cell phone
wind.
Will go sliding all over the place. And stick a little Velcro on the back of it. You throw it in your pocket, it doesn't fall out. Or you throw it on your passenger seat, it doesn't go flying around if you have cloth seats. One last thing, and this is an experiment that this isn't the last thing. This is all I can think of.
By the way, I just want to add to that. I do very few of these things. I run the worst possible life of organization. But one thing I have done, because I have been a TV fanatic, I Velcro channel changers because I have so many remotes.
Yes.
They're all stuck to my TVs.
Smart.
You just go to any Rite Aid, whatever, and they'll sell you squares of Velcro.
Adhesive
on the back.
Right.
And so the one part sticks on your TV, one on your remote. No matter how many remotes you have, you can frame your TV.
And by the way, how to find the button you want on your remote. Don't you have a trick?
Yes. Justin from Yorba Linda. Here's what you need to do. If you use the TiVo like I do, there's several thousand buttons on the face of a TiVo, and they all seem to be the same size. Where's the power? Well, it's, you know, 5 from the bottom and 3 from the left. Hard to find, especially at night. What I do with the 3 buttons or so on the TiVo or on any remote that I use repeatedly, because there are 18 buttons you'll never touch and you have no idea what they do. And then there's the 2 you use 10 times a day.
And then every year or 2, they switch channels. So A&E is never on. I can't find A&E anymore. And that's all I watch.
I take a soldering iron, but you can take anything.
Forget.
All right. No, here's what you do. You'll like this one. Take a steak knife.
Okay.
Put it over the flame of the stove and heat it up so it's good and hot. Then just sear the side where the button is on the TiVo. Just the plastic, just melt it right there. Your finger will run past it and feel it every single time, and you'll be able to find it that much faster.
Just so you know how smart Adam is on this one, go get your calculator out. You'll notice the number 5 has a bump in it.
Mm-hmm.
They do that for people who do it for a living. Don't have to look.
Right.
There's a bump in the 5. You feel it.
Right.
It's built right into your calculator. So just so you know, all those belt loops done with a hot steak knife or a hot pair of scissors.
Oh, really?
Because I've lost so much weight.
That's the way to do
it. That's the way to do it, man.
Hey, Justin?
Yeah, I'm here.
One last thing. I open my wallet the other day when I was in
there. There's a first around me.
Arizona.
Might want to try that again when I'm around there, Corolla.
A bunch of moths flew out, and after that, a guy asked me...
hey, look, it's Mrs. Corolla.
I see that your phone number is written on a thing that says, if found, please return to, and I wrote my phone number on there. Well, put it on your camera, put it on your wallet, and put it on whatever else, cell phone, whatever else you can lose, because we have found out through extensive experimentation on this show, which is taking a wallet, putting cash in it, putting a number on it, and tossing it out in different parts of town, that 9 times out of 10, the phone rings. People are pretty decent. The problem is they're not going to do a DNA swatch on your wallet right. And track you down. If your name and number, 99% of society who finds your wallet is not a criminal. Right. If your wallet is not stolen, it's not like a criminal picks it up. A citizen will pick it up, and a citizen will go, huh, whose wallet is this? Huh, it would ruin my day if I lost my wallet. Huh, I don't know whose this is, and they'll toss it or they'll keep it. But if there's a phone number on it that says, if found, please call, 95% of the populace will call it, and thus you can get your wallet back.
To prove that you're right, not only remember I told you that guy from, was it Inglewood, returned my wallet to the cops. The Inglewood cops came to my house and had all the money in it. But I've actually gone very far out of my way to return a wallet because I was kind of proud of myself. It had a fair amount of money in it. And I was kind of proud of myself. The guy's address was on it. So I knocked, it was like just around dinner. I figured everybody'd feel safe. I knocked on the door.
People want to feel good. They want to do the right thing. So and if you remove convenience barriers.
You should have seen the double whammy, though. He, like, first things first, because I was standing there and I had his wallet, he couldn't believe he got his wallet back. Then he went up to thank me and give me a little reward, and he went, because it was me.
Danny Buttafuoco was returning
my wallet. This is really weird.
No reward?
So, I wouldn't accept a reward. I wouldn't. But I was stupid on that, because I was ashamed of being poor after once being famous. I wouldn't accept tips when I would deliver food to go. Mm-hmm. I'd go to people's houses, they'd go, here's a little something for you. I go, I don't do that, and I'd walk away. And I needed that money.
What would you accept one of my tips, which is Velcro on the wallet, yes. Mr. Pizza Guy?
No, there
you
go.
Oh, you want $8 or you want a piece of information that could save you thousands?
I'd like to actually start the show now with a little cheer, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I felt the mood ready because Justin called and I thought we got off to a great start. And Adam got to give out tips you and I got to learn a little something. So it sounds a little something like this. Justin, he called. Look what he started. Adam's a friggin' genius. Danny and Teresa are retarded.
Don't lump me
in. What do you think?
Solid.
The end was a little rough.
I'm with Adam on this one. Thank you. Busting out rhymes at this hour.
Caller David from San Diego.
I am a big
pimp daddy.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I listen to you guys every weekend. Every morning.
Thanks, man.
I don't really have any topic to talk about other than Danny. I sure wish I could have seen the world through your eyes when you were a part of the Partridge Family with all those ladies.
Forget about his eyes. How about his penis?
Yeah.
Just the one eye.
It just looked dark for most of
the
time.
Telescope. Yeah.
I wish, you know what, though? I wish I could have seen the world through my eyes around 80 to 88. Because that would have been fascinating to know what that looked like.
Adam, congratulations on your kids. And Teresa, I'm still waiting for that Playboy spread.
Oh, well, you know, I'm waiting for them to call me.
I spent a huge portion of yesterday describing you.
Really?
Yeah, I was at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and people keep coming up to me and, you know, talking to me about the show and stuff. It was cool. One of those Hollywood tour buses was standing on the corner, and I've done this before because what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And a girl said, come on, do something so they at least look this way and if they recognize you. So I stood up and I looked over there, and sure enough, you could hear the guy introduce me on the speaker. So I took a bunch of pictures, and I felt really good, like the trip from Iowa. They at least saw something.
Right.
They saw a C-lister, but that beats nothing. And I sat back down, and everybody wanted to talk about what you look like.
Really?
You're hard to describe.
Huh. Hmm. Not that hard.
Yeah.
Sexy 60s, I'm going
Mrs.
with.
Peele?
And if,
that's a good description.
Yeah.
Mrs. Peele sexy?
Yeah, from the Avengers.
Your stock just went way up with me. That was one of my first huge crushes with Mrs. Peele in her jumpsuit. I think that's the reason I dress the way I do.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank God you weren't. I was watching Hobo Kelly when I was that age. That's why I dress the way I dress. We need to take a break. Ice Cube is going to be up next. And then, Danny, don't let me forget to tell all you folks who aren't in the greatest cardiovascular shape how to go 10 rounds with the champ.
Okay, good, because I'll go smoke a cigar.
Go smoke. I'll construct this. We'll talk to Ice Cube next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
What's up, man?
Son.
How you at work?
I'm fine yesterday.
I thought you had a day off yesterday.
I did. I went in there to pick up my check.
Came home, supervisor called me about 4 o'clock. Talking about they got me on videotape stealing boxes.
God damn. But I'm gonna get you high today.
What you doing up so early?
And now Ice Cube is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's speak to the lad, shall we? Ice Cube?
Yeah,
yeah. Good to speak to you.
You feeling?
You know, I was just thinking, you know, you think of Ice Cube as, well, I'm not sure, musician, actor, many things. But as I'm looking down your list of movies here, Three Kings and Anaconda and Triple X.
Love Anaconda.
Friday after Barbershop 2, Torque. Strikes me you've done 20 movies, and I think of you as sort of, well, as a rapper who dabbles in doing movies. But if you IMDb Ice Cube, you're probably going to see, you know,
what if you
50
do this?
Products.
What if you do this?
Yes.
Hey, Adam, what's Ice Cube do for a living?
Rapper, yeah. Dabbles in movies.
See, I just got rapper. He's a rapper. Even though I've seen, I can't believe I've seen almost all
Ice
your
Cube,
movies.
Ice Cube movies?
I went to, my name's Danny. Hi, nice to meet you. I went to see Ninja Turtles yesterday with my kid, and they had the previews for your new movie.
Yeah.
Which is called what?
Are
We Done Yet? And I don't know how much you want me to give away. I think I can safely say it's about an urban family that moves out towards the country to get some fresh air. It looks so funny, and the kind of gangster attitude you started with has so vanished. This could be the most charming dad on your block. That's real acting. Which one was the more acting, the gangster or the charming dad?
Hey, you know, one's a movie, one's not. So, take your pick.
I'm going to have to go with gangster on that, then.
Well, I was watching Triple X State of the Union last night on cable, which I've seen already, but every time I watch it, I just tune in because you're only about 10 seconds away from a car chase scene or Ice Cube beating something up, someone up, or something blowing up. But if you had your, whatever your next movie is, would you rather it be a comedy or an action movie?
You know, I'd rather do a drama, to be honest, because that's something that's come few and far in between on my career. So, you know, that's something that I've been dying to find. It's something that I'm cool with. But, you know, I would say drama, comedy, action.
Oh, you were great in Boys in the Hood. Was that your first major role?
God, you were.
Yeah, that was
right.
My first thing ever.
You were great, and I forgot about that. You were really good at that.
Yeah, so it's weird that you started out basically doing drama and then got into comedy and then action after that. Oftentimes it goes the other way. So you're looking to get back into drama. It seems like you're looking just to do something different than you did the time before.
I just want to make good movies. You know, try to. It's hard to find good movies out in Hollywood, and when you find them, for some reason, they don't want to make them.
Well, what about you writing the script? Do you do much writing?
I've done that before, too. You know, I wrote, you know, all the Friday movies that I was in.
You did?
The Barbershop movies, and, you know, so I've written, too. So I won't wait on Hollywood. You know, I have no problem with, you know, creating my own movie.
Well, how about you write yourself a good drama, and then you got a good part for yourself?
Well, you know, after people have seen you so successful in comedies, it's hard to get them to pay for a drama sometimes.
Anybody remember Continental Divide?
Yes.
A comedy person will do that drama, and, you know.
John Belushi, yeah. It can happen, though. Like, I was thinking of sort of about Will Smith's career.
Great career.
How he did, you know, he's doing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and DJ Jazzy Jeff and all that crap.
And then the brothers are getting away with this.
All of a sudden,
Jim Carrey can't do anything.
He's in 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness.
Or Pursuit of Happiness. Like, people will. It's just sometimes they don't want to. But it seems like if you're good enough, you can turn them.
Yeah, you know, it's just all about staying at it and just doing good movies. You know, if they see that people will come to see you, you know, somebody's going to take a chance.
So Are We Done Yet is out on April 4th. That is this Wednesday, right?
Yeah,
and you produce that, true?
Yeah, my company, Q Vision.
Uh-huh. And that's a sequel to Are We There Yet, right?
Yeah.
Which came out about a year and a half ago, am I right?
2005?
Yeah, man.
somewhere in there. See, I listen. I keep up.
Are we done yet?
Internet, man, keep you right there on.
If anyone knows me, knows I don't know what to do with that computer.
I don't know what to do with the computer except MySpace and email. That's my whole life. But I have one quick question. Is I know we're talking about sequels and what equal to what, but also, are we done yet? Is that in any way the Money Pit, which was a remake of Mr. Blanding's Dreamhouse with Cary Grant, which were one was wonderful, one sucked, and yours looks like it's going to be really good. Does yours have anything to do with those two movies, or is it totally different?
Well, we were actually, you know, after the success of Barbershop and the success of Are We There Yet, I was going to do Mr. Blanding's Bills and Dreamhouse. But I felt like that was a long name. A lot of people don't remember that movie. So we needed a sequel to Are We There Yet because it was such, you know, a crowd pleaser. So we was like, yo, let's see if we can adapt the story, change the characters, and make it the sequel. And that's kind of how it came out. And we got a hint of What About Bob in there, too.
Mm-hmm. The Bill Murray
movie.
Now, do you any, is Ice Cube doing any home improvement when he's at his home? You live in an igloo? How does this
small
work?
Small things, you know what I mean? But I'm not about to tear down a drywall or nothing like that.
Well, I'm looking at your card here, and it says you studied architectural drafting at the Phoenix Institute of Technology.
Yeah, I did.
So you obviously have some interest in this field.
Well, in drawing a house, you know.
Yeah, well, that's how it is. The guys who draw it don't build it, and the guys who build it can't draw it.
Yeah.
I'd
rather draw it and let somebody who's into that build it.
Well, do you have, because it's a hobby of mine, I love building. I have this dream about one day building a ground-up sort of green, self-sustaining thing with solar, this and that.
Do you
and
have to
thermal
live with Pauly Shore?
Heating and Ed Begley Jr. Oh, Biodome. Yeah.
Right.
I'm hip. We're talking about movies. You, where do you live,
dude,
Ice Cube? And do you want to, you ever want to build yourself a house that you draw up?
Yeah, I mean, no, not that I draw up. You know, that was a long time ago.
Sure.
You know, I live in L.A., and, of course, I mean, anybody who had the opportunity would love to build their own dream house from the ground up.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool, and I'd love to do one that just was off the grid, just made all its power and collected all its water, just was... just didn't need anything from the outside world, you know? The smart houses.
Take one of them big old checks up there and go on and do it.
All right. I'm now motivated by Ice Cube. The movie, now, why does it come out on Wednesday? Most movies come out on Friday. It's coming out this Wednesday.
Well, you know, there's a lot of kids out on spring break. Parents on, I'm bored.
Right.
And here's, you know, you could... It's something for them to do. Take them to see how we've done yet.
How crazy is it if we had a time machine and went back to the NWA years about 15, 20 years ago and the idea that I'm bored, let's have the parents take their kids to come see this young fella do his thing. Sort of surreal, isn't it?
Hey, you know, that's what makes this a beautiful life.
It is. It's nice to keep moving. And everyone in this room, and we're talking Ice Cube, by the way, everyone's creative. You know, people say to me all the time, like, hey, man, why didn't you do a fifth season of The Man Show? And I say, well, we did 100 episodes. That seemed like enough. And they'd say, oh, they canceled it. And I'd say, no, we wanted to move forward and do other things. That's half the reason I got into this business is to do something different this year than I did last year or the year before.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's fun about making movies. You make this movie one year, and then you make a comedy, then you make
that's
a drama.
Pretty much why I stopped doing the Partridge Family, except the only difference is they said, the show's over, get out, get on with your life, grow up, stop taking drugs.
Can I pass one
but
compliment?
Aside from that, it was really close.
Can I pass one compliment along to you, Ice Cube? I interviewed John C. McGinley yesterday, who people know from Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
He's in your movie, Are We Done Yet?
And a thousand movies.
And a thousand platoon and stuff. And he sang your praises. I remember this because it was kind of an interesting turn of phrase. He said that Ice Cube is a mound of integrity.
I don't know about the mound. Probably a compliment, but I like that.
Hey, does this mound of integrity make my ass look big?
He said your set was a pleasure to work on and that he loved working with you and you had no ego.
Yeah, I mean, John C., man, he steals this movie, man. He's like... He's the best in it. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, he came off of a set that was a little uptight, and when he came to our set, it was loose, and we kind of let him do his thing, and, you know, it was all about creativity, and, you know, so I guess he really enjoyed working with us, so hopefully when we call him to do the next one, he won't charge as much.
I just read into that. Scrubs, no fun to work on.
And where did you...
I say Scrubs. Mm-hmm. I said last movie.
Wild Hogs? Jeez, I'm trying
that
to think.
That was Wild Hogs.
Keep going further.
That guy... All right, we'll go back to the next one. Al IMDb, his ass, too. That guy's been in 400 movies.
Yeah, he was in a bunch of Oliver Stone movies.
It's crazy
Wall
how many
Street,
movies
Platoon.
That guy's been in. All right, so Ice Cube, the info is, are we done yet? It is out Wednesday. Gather up the kiddies and go out on April 4th. That is this Wednesday to a theater near you. Hey, Ice Cube.
Yo.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Come in and see us in person one of these days.
For sure. Y'all take it easy.
Take care.
Take care, man. Thank you very much.
Ice Cube, and speaking of home improvement, well, I'm not going to break just yet, actually, because I forgot about something I got to get to, but I will be taking your home improvement calls in the next break. But back to Bonaducci in his windiness.
Now, this is just so you know this. During that interview, I felt I'd added pretty much what I had to add. I knew the Mr. Blanding's dreams. How I had seen the coming attractions. I said, hey, Adam, what do you think of first? I thought I had contributed what I had to contribute and was kind of done and leaned back and watched the Adam Carolla show go to work. And sure enough, Adam with his long gangly ass arms just to show off. Leans across and pulls my microphone away, and the second I see him do it, I realize what's happening. Because then he starts to lean forward, because there are only two kinds of people who lean forward to me. One's going to punch me in the face, and the other one's tired of hearing this.
Oh, yeah. Occasionally, there's the Darth Vader thing.
Yeah. So Adam is going to fix that for me. No, I think about it, but sometimes if I'm not vigilant, you will hear me. I have trouble with my lungs, and there's no missing it.
Well, the thing I was going to say to not only Danny, but all of you out there listening, and something I learned in boxing. Now, I don't know that I have the answer, but I at least, or have the solution, but I have the question and part of the answer, which is I learned in boxing when I used to be a boxing trainer. I was actually thinking back to a father and son team I used to spar with. They were both good athletes. They're both in better shape than I was. One of them was a runner. The guy was about 45 and he just ran 10 miles every day. He was an avid runner. As a matter of fact, I'm just thinking about this guy because I spoke to him yesterday. He was the editor-in-chief of the Los Angeles Times. Name was Shelby Coffey, and he was one of my students.
You're kidding. He's
moved away to Washington, D.C., and I spoke to him yesterday. And I don't know why, maybe it's on my mind, but he had a son named Charles who was 19 or something and in phenomenal shape. He was a real gym rat. And he was in great shape, too. And I wasn't in that great a shape because, my days were behind me and I was a trainer. And I didn't do that much anymore except for train other people. But I used to spar with these guys on weekends. And I would stand in the ring and they would round robin in. I'd do one round with Pops and then a round with the son and then a round with Pops. I would end up doing 12 rounds, you know. They'd both do 5-6 rounds. I'd do 12 rounds. Now, I wasn't out of breath, but they were. And not because I was in better shape than they were, but because I was relaxed.
Right.
It
Absolutely.
Wasn't. You will go off like a Roman candle if you're not relaxed. I would always say to my students, if somebody drops you off in the ocean 2 miles from the shore and you start flailing, you're going to drown.
Drown for sure.
You're spending more energy.
You'll burn yourself up. I don't care how good a shape you're in. It'll be like literally like lighting a pile of gunpowder. You just go poof. But if you get smooth and you relax and you breathe and you get your rhythm, you can make it to shore or not, but that's your only shot. Your only shot of making it to shore is smooth and rhythmic. So when people get in the ring, and you see this all the time, you saw it with George Foreman when the guy was 45. It's like he's got a spare tire around his stomach. Yeah. He's 260 pounds. He's 45 years old. He's 40 pounds heavier than he should be. and he's going 10 or 12 rounds with guys that are half his age because he has so much ring experience, and he's picking and choosing his moments so carefully that he's not expending any energy. You could have guys in there that were triathletes, and they would not be able to last one round with them because their heart would be beating like a pigeon.
This is exactly why I think probably the only one you saw televised was the Greg Brady fight on Celebrity Boxing. But I've done a bunch of those with local jocks and stuff like that, and they've really trained and been 20 years younger than I, and I have never lost. And the reason I have never lost, and I got to thank my dad for this, I've been beaten ahead. Covered in blood since I can remember.
God bless his memory.
These guys, you walk into the ring with little or no training. I've been in the ring half the celebrity boxing I've done. I've been drunk at the time. And I walk in the ring and they're bobbing and weaving. You can see they've been training like crazy with real trainers. And you walk out of the middle of your ring and I usually start with my hands at my sides just to be an ass. Like swing away and then you die. So I walk out of the middle of the ring and then I just go, pow, and even if their hands are up, even if I miss them and they cover, if they have not been hit in the face with malice, their trainer may have hit them harder than I hit them, but I have malice in my heart. And when I hit them as hard as I can and they go, oh my God, this guy's out to hurt me, they lose all composure. They do exactly what Adam said. They panic and stiffen up and start moving at 1,000 miles an hour. And that's why I win, because I am completely comfortable with people with malice in their heart hitting me in the face.
Malice, good name for TV.
Your brain causes your body to be flooded with adrenaline.
You can sweat profusely, not move a muscle if you're freaked out and nervous. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, if you look at it, just look at sweating for just one second. If you run a sprint, you'll sweat, but you can sweat without blinking if you're freaked out enough inside. So, I mean, do the sort of calorie math on that.
A great way to prove that, by the way, is if you go to jazzercise class, whatever people do, the kickboxing classes, like the ones the girls teach now, they're like aerobics with kicks and punches and stuff, and you don't know the moves, you'll start pouring sweat right away trying to keep up. If you spend the exact amount of energy doing jumping jacks, but you know exactly how they're done, you'll get through an hour of them. It's being nervous. What Adam is exactly saying.
Right.
It's not. It's the unexpected. It's the rigidity of not knowing what to do next. That will cause you to sweat just by thinking about it.
So the people that get into the ring without the ring experience get very tense, very nervous, start burning calories on the way to the ring.
Right.
And then when they get in, it's like they're in a pool of freezing cold water. They can't catch their breath, sort of panicky. So I can't put wind in anyone's lungs, but what I can do is show them how to relax and show them how to sort of pick their moments and how to move in such a way where you can beat somebody with twice the wind that you have just because you've regulated your emotions, you've regulated your movement.
Unfortunately, there are people with tubes up their nose that have twice the wind I do.
And this Shapiro guy who you're fighting, isn't he a trial attorney that's used to highly adrenalized situations?
That's a different kind of adrenaline. You punch a guy in the face that thinks the next punch is going to try and hurt him as bad as you can. The problem is he has much more ring experience.
Right.
What I've got...
Oh, Danny's going to get killed. No doubt about that.
You're
a trainer. That's not the message you're supposed to send him.
But I got to gamble on somebody. Yeah.
If this guy runs and jabs, I lose. That's all there is to it. If he stands and fights me, even with 18-ounce gloves, I can probably break him up a little bit.
Because
he's never going to hurt me. So there's no fear of injury to me.
I'm going to start training Danny.
Via
the telephone.
Video phone. So you can actually hold the mitts.
Yeah. All right. We will take ourselves a break. Good news, though, kiddies. Home improvement questions. Your home improvement questions at 866-901-ADAM. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
Check it, peeps. Jack Mann's about to straight lay the smackdown on your ass. We got the championship game at our March Madness Tournament. Don't know if the Jack Mann's going to win this one. In my Final Four, I picked complaining about the same things over and over again. Jack Man's bracket in shambles. We'll do some hobo power, so get your disgusting stories ready. And we'll talk about our Half Book August and April contest. Hey, does Half Book mean fire? Because if so, you might as well give me the 10 G's right now.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're going to do some home improvement questions at 866-901-ADAM. But you know,
before you get into your home improvement thing, I just want to tell Teresa something that among Mr. Carolla's other obvious talents, do you know, I think there is clairvoyance involved.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if you know this or not, because I go out and smoke at the breaks and write all the comedy I'm going to do when I come back in and work really hard while I'm out there. Just want to make that clear. He bought me a timer, like a leg timer. Yeah. Nothing special about it, right?
Right.
Counts minutes. It looks like any other $3 timer I ever saw. Do you mind if I ask you how much that was?
I don't remember how much it was because I bought it, well, you know, I buy in bulk. What I do is I don't buy one timer. I don't buy one of anything under 30
bucks. Are you
aware
it's for the deaf and dumb?
I do know it has a light.
Did you know it has a vibrator? So if you can attach it to you, so you know when time is up?
No,
it's for the blind and it's for the deaf as well as for the sighted. And I wondered when I realized it, because I couldn't make it work in minutes. It was only working in hours. I turned around, there were a bunch of buttons, and I'm playing them. What kind of timer is this? Like a computer.
Right.
And so I just turned everything to on, and then I hit a minute, so I'd know what they were within 1 minute.
Right.
And a light went off, and a bell went off, and it started to vibrate and shook itself off the table. And I went, this is for blind and deaf people. Ooh. What the hell is Carolla trying to tell me? So I just wanted to know if you knew in advance that you bought me a timer for blind and deaf people.
I knew it had a light. You know, I'm not smart. I wasn't smart enough to do the math. I knew it had a light thing, but I didn't know the vibrate part. Yeah. But Gretchen, if you're listening, time for an orgasm.
Dude, don't I know.
Vibrate. You'll be lit up at the same time.
Here's a tip. Tie some floss to it so you can get it back, though. You're in a leash.
You don't want to lose it.
Oh, don't get me started.
You do buy
I'd be a rich man right now if I could get back everything. All right, your home improvement questions.
From the pantheon of morning radio, a solitary gladiator steps into the ring.
Bad stucco. It's like a wall stud in your ceiling. Something called a tuck trowel. The bottom of a ceiling joist. You grind out the mortar. 2x6.
Adam Carolla answers your home improvement questions.
Here's what you need to do.
The quest begins now.
All right, well, let's start with Darren from San Diego. Darren?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You have a question?
I have a problem getting that wax ring on the toilet.
Mm-hmm. The wax ring that goes underneath the toilet that joins the toilet with the plumbing, yes.
Notice I already moved the mic away from me.
Yes. What is the question?
I put it on the bottom of the toilet first, and it keeps falling off, so I put it on the hole that's on the bottom of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after I sat the toilet on there, it might have smushed over the hole, and now you know you got a bunch of
You put that ring. It's called a Johnny ring, a wax ring. There's a side of it that now they attach a sort of rubber trumpet side to it, and I think that side goes down. Yeah. Point is it doesn't matter if it smushes over the opening. Your crap will knock down any hangers of wax almost immediately. And the other thing that people don't know is what happens is that wax ring is literally $1.50 at the Home Depot.
Right.
But if that thing starts leaking, then the water starts leaking out and it starts rotting the floor. Then the subfloor gets rotted. Then you have to pull the tile up and then the joists get rotted.
This is great.
Have a huge problem. So the point is take care of it. Just unbolt your toilet. There's two bolts that hold it down. Just unscrew it, undo the water line and pull the toilet out and put the new one. And for those of you who don't know, those bolts that stick up from the bottom flange can be removed. There's not a hole that they stick through. There's a slot that they stick through. So they're meant to be pulled out. Okay. All right. So, Darren, did I answer your question or not?
Yeah. Do I put on the bottom of the toilet or do I put on the ground? What does
put it on the ground and drop the toilet on it. And when you say the ground, he means the plumbing. There's a flange that comes up when
we're having a ball out here.
When you take the toilet off. All right, let's see. Replacing windows, hanging swing from ceiling.
I was looking at that too.
Matt.
Hey Adam, what's up?
What's happening, Matt?
Not much. I just moved into a new apartment building, and it's an older building, and it doesn't have a wood ceiling. Like, doesn't have wood beams in the ceiling. So I don't know where to screw in the bolt for my love swing.
Okay, before Mr. Carolla tells you about how that is done, have you done it before?
No, in my old apartment, I just screwed it into the door beam.
But I mean, so you have had the love swing up before?
Oh, yeah.
And awesome. You did not find it incredibly overrated?
No, hell no.
Now, the love swing, not the love basket, this is the one that is more of a harness, right?
Yeah, it's got a seat for you to sit on, and it's got like a backrest, and it's got 2 foot harnesses.
Right.
Well, Matt, do you have a love to swing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you don't bring home first dates and say hop in a swing, baby. You
here's the thing about...
It's a mesh kind of... You'd be in the same position if you were at the gyno's office, except very comfortable and hanging in air.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which sounds good until the father-in-law stumbles into the, hey, Chet, can I use the bath? Oh, yeah, sure, it's in the master. You got to go through the master. Oh, dear, no, don't go, no. And then the guy just leaves a trail of vomit and tears back to his rent-a-car and right back to Indiana. I mean, could you imagine stumbling into the love swing? Here's the thing about any device that's like this. It should all look like something else, or at least act like something else. At least make the father-in-law think that wicker basket with the hole in the bottom of it isn't just used for nailing his young daughter.
Oh, well, I could take the swing out and just hang a plant from it when people come over.
All right. Everybody does that. That's smart. Very smart.
Yeah, don't do what I do, which is put a potted plant onto the swing. That just attracts more attention.
Try the same trick with a stripper pole, which have become popular. The whole model of the stripper pole have become very popular since the thing called the S Factor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which Sheila, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Terry Hatcher was doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have stripper poles. You can't really make it look, unless you all of a sudden your father-in-law comes over and you dress like a fireman, you're kind of screwed.
Well, if you, but if you're like me and you know construction, you can pull off a quick lie and just go, oh, you mean this lolly column here? And they go, what? That's a stripper pole. And you go, oh, no, this is a bearing column. Oh, geez. And then he goes, it's brass. And you go, yeah, I guess it is. I never thought about it. It's bearing. It holds up the header to the second floor.
That was the closest thing we've ever had to in common. He said, if you know construction like me, you can lie. And I'm thinking, if you are soulless like me, you can lie. We'd do it differently. I'd do, that's not there. You don't see that.
I just hit my head on it, Dave.
Are you stupid? That's not there. Are you crazy?
Does it matter how much weight this thing needs to hold for Matt?
I'm going to go with a lot.
Well, by the way,
Matt.
On a weight-bearing thing, probably not, because I'm sure that Adam could tell him how to hold things. That are, you know, he told me my chin-up bar can hold a engine block. It matters on a personal level that it probably not hold more than 185 pounds.
Well, Matt.
Matt?
Yeah.
What's
the spring's only rated at 200 pounds on it.
Okay. Probably.
What's the girl weighing at?
Depends how much I had to drink the night before.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I see you're throwing a different girlfriend, into this thing on a nightly basis. Well, Matt, here's how you do it.
It is so hard to talk a girl into one of those things on the first few dates.
Here's Matt.
Not that I know all this stuff.
Here's what you need to do. You may not have a beam that's exposed, but you have a joist that's inside of the ceiling. All right? You must find that joist. When you find that joist, you can then take an eye screw with a wood screw. Take like a half-inch eye screw and screw it into that thing. Drill a pilot hole and then screw the thing into it. Just go to the hardware store.
Did everything about what Corolla just said sound sexual to you?
Yeah.
Every single thing.
It was drilling and nailing.
Drill the pilot, get out your screw.
That's it.
Now
he's like working for Southwest.
Go get yourself, I'm going to go with a 3/8 eye screw.
I screw,
we all screw for eye screws. So
do I find that joist the same way I find a stud?
Yes, use your finger.
This is very
use your finger and sniff it when you're done. It'll make me happy.
I want to know how Matt lures women into his love den and gets them on his love swing.
He misunderstood the question. Do you have a steady girlfriend?
No, you do.
Do you have a steady girlfriend?
Yeah.
Say he's not. You misunderstood.
He went back on that for a second.
No, I think it was worded weird. I am telling you right off the bat, it takes a real long time to break out the love swing. You don't just take your shot. If you want to get sex in any way, you don't invite the new girl the first time to hop in a swing.
Mm-hmm. No.
You bring roses and kiss her on the neck. Date 4, you get her in a swing.
Matt,
there are rules.
Yeah. All right, Star 80.
All right, thanks.
You want to talk about how to place the swing? You talk to Mr. Carolla. You want to talk about how to place the drunk chick in the swing? You should call me.
You all have earned your pay right now.
Full service.
Let's see. Let's talk to Matthew from Portland. Matthew?
Hi there, gentlemen. Love the show.
Thank
Teresa,
you.
Teresa, you are an absolute sweetheart.
Thank you.
She is. I was just up in Portland. Great place, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portland's awesome. Gorgeous morning.
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
Punch you right in.
Matthew?
Yeah, I've got a question about walling, about drywall. I've got a corner in my house,
mm-hmm.
and the flashing underneath the paint and underneath the texture is starting to expand, and it's cracked the wall, not cracked the wall, but cracked the drywall.
Corner bead is expanding. I'm not sure what you mean by flashing underneath the paint, the whatever. On the corners, corner bead, as we discussed last week.
Okay.
I don't know how it can expand. It's come loose is what it is, and it's cracking up the side of the wall about an inch and a half in from the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, do I know a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
So here's this
almost too exciting to bear.
Here's what it is. Go get him. Headlock.
Danny's
run.
Down.
Danny's oh, no.
Danny's attacking Ryan.
Every now and again.
Matthew.
Ryan, how's the adrenaline level?
He almost grew hair. He was that nervous. Here's
the Danny Bonaducci show.
Here's what happens. You have something called corner bead, metal corner bead.
So does Brian. Let it go.
He has sweat beads on his upper lip.
2 gallons of cortisol just produced in his liver.
Matthew has corner beads, and that goes on the corner, outside corner. When you're doing drywalling, sometimes they don't attach it very well, and it cracks all the way up the length of the wall. That is a tough one to fix. What you need to do, are you ready, Matthew?
I'm ready for the challenge.
You need to take a hammer, tap it lightly on the flat part, not on the corner part, of each side, and you will chip off the existing joint compound.
Now, are you talking about the edge of the hammer or just the flat side of the hammer there?
The flat side's good. It doesn't matter. Either way, that stuff will chip off. Then you can sink a few more drywall screws in that thing so the edge doesn't pop up again, and then take yourself some joint compound and re-joint compound it. It'll be easy to do. It'll all chip off. Yes?
How do I get the texture back on there then? You know that,
You can, once the first coat dries of joint compound, the second one, you can sort of just sort of stipple on there, use a sponge, use your eyeball, recreate it using whatever you need, to use to get it. But put the first coat on first and then do the second texture coat with the joint compound. All right, one more. Let's see.
Notice Brian.
To talk to
you. I thought he was done.
All right.
He's not scared.
So we've accomplished our mission.
Let's talk to Paul. Paul.
As long as he stays good. Those are both appropriate. I'm with him when he's doing it. When he goes insane, then you have to lose a finger.
Paul.
Yeah. That's the perfect way.
Paul, quickly.
Yeah, my mom has circa windows 1960 in Whittier, California, single pane windows, and I'm replacing them with double pane windows. I had a project I should endeavor on, Mr. Crawler.
People want to be more energy efficient these days. They want the dual glazed windows, that is two pieces of glass, not pressed together, but with a space and not air in between it, argon in between. I think the air has moisture, and that would be a problem. The point is you want to replace them.
Isn't that the ancient Chinese secret? That they
argon?
Calgon.
Yes. Oh, sorry, never mind. Back to you.
Paul?
Yeah?
You have stucco on the outside of Mommy's house?
Yes, sir.
You're calling from Whittier. You're worried about your mom's house. You one of the carpenters?
What's that, sir?
Interesting and ironic. Weren't the carpenters from Whittier or someplace like that, and they lived at home until they were like, and that's what gave... Listen, find someone with an eating disorder. I'll show you a mom who never wants you to leave the house and wants to get you to dance recital when you're in your 30s. Hey, Paul?
Yeah?
Stucco on the outside of Mommy's house?
Yes, sir.
All right. And are you relatively handy?
Yes, I am. I work in construction, but I work doing hillside repairs, a lot of grade beams.
Doing foundation stuff. All right, I'll tell you what. I would say go for it, but I would say whoever manufactures these windows get them to come out and measure the rough opening, or get them to come out and measure the windows, because what we don't want is for you to measure them, write them down on a cocktail napkin, go down to the place that manufactures them, order them, and then 9 weeks later, when your $5,000 worth of windows show up and three of them don't fit, he's looking at you going, you gave me the wrong thing. These were built to spec. And you're going, hey, man, you built this thing too big. Let that guy be in charge. If anything doesn't fit, it's on his plate. He'll take it back. He'll fix it. But it, let the guy who does the measurement in the field do the measurement in the factory as well. Other than that, you can handle it, you stud.
All right. Okay. Paul, are you up for it?
Yes, I am. And, you guys rock my radio world. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Paul. Good times, buddy. Have fun riding that backhoe all day today.
Yes, sir.
All right. And by the way, you want to talk about the ultimate sex swing. The backhoe.
The backhoe?
Yes. I mean, they'll die the diesel fumes,
you
but it's good loving.
Want to talk about something hard to talk somebody into on the first couple of days.
The backhoe.
Hey, baby. This is just, it's, what's your name, Tiffany? Yeah. I kind of dig doing it on a backhoe. Mm. You don't mind, like, on the first date.
Right.
Just get on my backhoe.
And the thing I was thinking mostly about the sex swing, it's like any toy you use in the bedroom, whoever's getting on it next, you should be explaining this is its maiden voyage.
Right, I just bought this and took it out of the box.
What you don't want is a tub of Purell and a bunch of rust stains on the thing, you know what I mean? What you don't want is, yep, it's my lucky one, I broke it in with mink oil, and it's just hitting the sweet spot right now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a frying pan, you're not supposed to wash it. Yeah, that's not
that. I mean, there's a certain kind of chick that will dig that, and I know them, but most women of quality are going to take a long time to get in the swing, and in most cases, they'll say, well, get a new one, and I'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're any kind of man, you'll just start lying the second your lips start moving.
And the other thing, Mike says I was wrong about drywall, so you know I have to talk to him about that. But quickly, anything, whether it be the rabbit or the sex swing, or the whatever's in the display case over at the adult toy store. Do not discuss it at high noon when you're talking about what's going to happen over the weekend. You hide it under the pillow, have a couple of cocktails, make your way to the bedroom, and then sort of unleash it. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a handgun. Don't start waving it around, explaining to everyone what you're going to do with it. You brandish it at the right moment.
Yes, well, or...
I'm of the opinion if you pull a gun, you pull the trigger.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I would never show a man I had a gun.
Pull the rabbit, pull the ears.
Absolutely. Right. But in my marriage, the way things are, the quality of the sex is controlled by Gretchen. The quantity is controlled by me. We came to a deal that was going to destroy our marriage. I have to have sex every day, or maybe I could go a day or two, but after that... You have to assume there's trouble in paradise if I'm not knocking, pardon the expression, at your back door real hard saying, pay attention to your husband because, you know, this is trouble in paradise. So we've come to, I can have sex every day, but literally here's the code for it. So you got him in for me? That means I will get this done as fast as humanly possible right now.
Right.
And I can probably do it under 2 minutes every time if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to break out rabbits and things like that, that's heavily discussed.
Ah.
She'll let me know that she is in the mood to be involved in this. Because mostly, for the most part, she is not. But I want you to know, because for years I would say my wife doesn't like sex. She does it mostly as a favor for me. And that rabbit thing, I think that's what it was, changed that.
Mm-hmm.
She got all kind of different.
How often do you broker the rabbit deal into it?
No, she brokers the rabbit. I just want to have sex. If she wants to have great sex, then I'm more grateful. But I have a wife, and I've thought about this because we're having a little trouble in paradise at the moment. Nothing irreparable. But I thought about it. I have a wife that doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, and will have sex with me every single day. Damn, I keep thinking about what a bad deal I got because all these other things I whine about.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, she takes care of the house, care of the kids. She's a very smart woman, doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, and will have sex. The second I ask her, I look at my watch and say, got a minute for your husband. She'll look around to see who's there because she doesn't like it if the maid's around. Or just go, yeah, all right, real quick. She doesn't take her shoes off or anything. Because I've just said, you got a minute for me? That means I need this. You don't. You're doing me a favor. Thank you very much.
So if you guys are at the mall waiting in line to see the Santa Claus so the kids could be photographed with it, and you said, got a minute.
The breakaway sweats come off.
No, because I want you to know I'm telling you an absolutely legitimate part of how I live. If there's no one in the house, or even if there are somebody in the house, like, but it's a big house. That's what I do. It indicates that I need it, or I'm going to... I get physical symptoms from not having sex.
I gotta say, after being married 17 years, sex every day is pretty good.
Dude, she should be, at least if not, like, thrilled, because I'm sure, you know, she doesn't like it as much as I do, but at least complimented. I mean, I've been with women for 2 years. I could barely bring myself to do it anymore. I had to fake being even interested. After 17 years, wanting it every single day, the woman should be flattered, if not exhausted, flattered.
I know, but that problem where you're explaining to people, this is a comp, you idiot, I'm complimenting you, you should be those should be tears of joy. That should be divorce paperwork of happy friend of love. Mike?
Yep.
Quickly correct me on my drywall.
Well, you got the part about knocking off the compound, nailing it back on, putting the joint compound back on, but when the guy asked about the texturing,
mm-hmm.
Home Depot is like, this is like a God's gift to handyman. It's the bottles of texturing you can buy.
Yeah, it used to not be available, and now you can get wall texture.
Yes, and it's a splatter, the knockdown, or the orange peel. I love that stuff. I use it many times, and right. It's just great.
Okay, what I was looking to do is save this guy a second material or second step. Not exactly wrong on this one. It's such a small area. It's literally an inch and a half to an inch and a quarter stripe down the side of his drywall that I thought he could fudge it just by using the joint compound. But yes, they have this texture stuff and you can get it now. So if you can't make it match with the joint compound, then go try the texture. All right, Mike.
By the way, nice combination, because that's part of my you got a minute thing. You got a minute? It's such a small area, an inch and a half. It's part of my pitch.
Do you set the timer for 2 minutes, though, just to show that it won't take longer than that?
If you really want to know, I'll do this as brief as possible. It happened in the counselor's office. I was explaining that there's a physical need. He said, I understand. We ran a bunch of tests, took a bunch of pills. It was really, this got really to be a big hassle. We agreed on 3 times a week as a minimum, no matter how anybody felt about anything. And then one time I said, it was my day. It was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, right? So I said, come on. She said, no, I got to do this. And I said, you don't have 5 minutes for your husband? And she said, all right. And then I realized, well, wait, if it's 3 times a week and I just said 5 minutes, she's kind of just cut a new deal of 15 minutes per week.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get this down to a minute,
mm-hmm.
I can now have sex 15 times a week.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So that was what I did. So we did. Yes, we set a timer. My record's 45 seconds.
Now, if you go over the minute, does it go into the next billing minute?
Yes.
Meaning, like,
in
parking will do that.
No,
you'll go 21 minutes, and they'll charge you for 40 minutes because you've gotten to the next billing cycle.
When we're getting along really well, mm-hmm. this kind of totally, because I like romance, too, mm-hmm. but when we're getting along really well, this totally unromantic sex we're talking about is super funny.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the timer, and she's looking at it, she's holding it, and going, oh, you're working your way into tomorrow, buddy.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
I feel like on Monday, what if you use up your 3 sexes per that week, and then...
By not being able to finish fast? Enough.
No, if you just want 3 on Monday, are you done for the week?
Well, I got to check the...
It's a matter of time.
The sexual deal-a-meal, because we'll go ahead and spin it and see if you've used up all your carbs on Monday.
I wouldn't want you to think that my life is like that sexual. It's not. It's actually, when we're really getting along well, that's almost as fun for me as the romance of the flowers and the candlelight. When she's mm-hmm. laughing and we've got the timer, you know, we're making a game of it. It's really fun. I like being her best friend as much as I like being her lover.
So if Sting showed up just one day,
just laugh at him.
But Sting could use up Gretchen's time for like the next 12 years in one session, right?
Yeah, and she'd be pleased with that for the most part. But she'd do it because it was Sting.
Uh-huh. It's like when the dentist says, look, we got 3 root canals to do. Now, you could either come in for 4 hours or we could break this up into 9 different whatever. And you go, screw it. Just give me the one long session. Right. Let's get this over with.
Right. I don't
root canal.
I don't have the dentist capability.
All right. But you can drill. We'll take a quick break. T.
Yes.
It's coming up in the news, baby doll.
Well, a delightful mother-son robbery story.
Nice.
Just in time for Passover.
Mm.
I have a feeling they're not Jews.
Also, yesterday I was reminded, actually, if you remind yourself, does that still count?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I reminded myself that you brought up Chris Rock and some paternity thing that we never got to.
There were reports that he was having trouble with his wife and that he was having an affair with his co-star. He's denied those reports.
Uh-huh. No paternity suit against Chris Rock?
Not that I know of. I'll check during the break.
We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Ready, set, text. The competition where fingers did the talking at 10.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's the Adam Carolla Show, but I'll step aside for 8 seconds. So I'll be right back, but it's time for Teresa Strasser to take over with the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
There is indeed news about Chris Rock and a paternity claim, as well as Howard K. Stern and a paternity claim, which I'll get to momentarily. But first, last night, the Florida Gators repeated as NCAA basketball champions by beating the Ohio State Buckeyes 84-75, thus matching their football team's domination of Ohio State to win this year's NCAA football championship. Here is Florida forward Joakim Noah with his eloquent thoughts on the win.
I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, we work so hard for this, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we gonna do it big. All day, all night, doing huge. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about when I'm saying that. But my boys know. The Gator boys know what I'm talking about. Gainesville know what I'm talking about.
Whoa. I don't understand, because tomorrow's a school day.
Oh, yeah. You're
what
right.
do you mean do it big he all night? I'm sure he has early classes. He's got to hit the books.
Good point.
Cracking the books. I don't see it.
Well, but look, you could have, let's say, a Fresca or a thing, maybe a mug of Postum or something right. tonight, but then you go to bed early.
I have not heard the word Postum in about 20 years.
Well, however you celebrate, the Corollas do it. We're wilder than most groups.
What the hell's a Postum?
I love Postum.
It's a substitute for coffee.
It's delicious.
It's somewhere between Ovaltine and coffee.
My grandparents drank it.
I've never even heard of it.
It tastes like cornflakes.
It's crappy stuff. Look, there was a time.
See, I go for something different. It's like just between blow and crank. So I see where you might want to go.
This is less than coffee.
Postum, okay. it would be the equivalent to a speedball in the drug right. world. It's a combination of coffee and Ovaltine.
Right, and I do a thing called Postum. And that's right. entirely different.
Well, here's what happened, if people want to know what Postum is. There was this time, and I grew up in this family, where if everyone consumed it, it must be poison that the man had made. Because, after all, the man was attempting to poison a citizen. So if someone ate chocolate, you shouldn't eat chocolate. You should eat carob. Now, what carob was is just as much sugar, except for a taste like ass. But the man wasn't poisoning that. And we right. found out later that all this stuff that we should be doing that's a substitute ends up being worse for you or having just as many calories as the thing that the man is putting out. And it tastes like crap. So why not just drink the coffee with your chocolate instead of have the Postum with your carob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Butter
the more
out.
You know.
The more you know.
God, I have the most confusing picture of your family and friends and life before I knew you.
Me too.
It's like one day I have this idea of these people who never move in their lives. They don't get up. They don't do anything.
Right.
Then you'll casually say something about the books they've read or what it is that they know. And you'll go, well, these are really smart people he's talking about. Then their jobs and stuff don't match the last thing.
How would I know that?
I think you have a very convoluted idea of how you grew up.
Well, smart is hard to define. Because there are many different ways, many different yardsticks you can measure smart.
It only goes to 5, 6.5.
But I'm going to say, my ultimate definition of smart is, are you doing what you want to do? And it's not about money, and it's not about the car you drive, and it's not about the house you live in or the jewelry you have. If you want to work with animals, can you do that for a living? Can you figure out a way to do that? If you want to live up north, can you live up north? If you want to fill in the blank, if you want to be a pilot, can you do it? Ultimately, if you're not smart, you can't tell me you're a genius and can't figure out a way to do what you want to do in life at the same time.
How should I know?
And I would use that. So again, I don't know if my family's smart or not, because on one hand, they're smart. On the other hand, they can't seem to figure out a way to do what they want to do.
Right, but I know a lot of, I don't mean to throw everybody off, but I'll just be really super brief. The IQ tests are taken between the ages of 4 and 7 usually. It doesn't mean you know anything yet. It's what you're capable of retaining and learning, what you could know. And a lot of geniuses don't know how to tie their shoes. and don't do anything. Kind of just, they said that, not Galileo, what the hell was his name? I'll go with Galileo, but I'm not right. I'll correct myself later. Would get out of bed and sometimes sit for 8 hours because he couldn't move with all the thoughts that would come flooding into his head.
Too much time in sex swing the night before.
That might be true, too.
Well, listen, are you happy? And thus, can you make yourself happy by leading the kind of life you choose to lead? And if that ain't smart, well, so be it. I'll be an idiot. I would love to do what I want to do, and I would love to be happy doing it. And for my kids, I'd rather them be borderline retarded in the IQ department and lead the kind of life they wanted to lead and do it with a smile on their face.
Seems like a good yardstick for smarts, because who wouldn't want to be happy? Have a short time around on the planet Earth, and for Anna Nicole Smith, it was very short indeed.
Nice.
Nice.
Thank you. Unfortunately, Anna Nicole Smith is no longer with us, but her story remains. Custody over her baby, Dana Lynn, is still being contested.
I think you took Danny Lynn and you turned it into one name, which is kind of cool. Dana Lynn.
Dana Lynn. Danny Lynn.
I like that. All right.
It actually is one word.
Oh, really? But everyone says but Danny
Lynn. Yeah, it's pronounced Danny Lynn.
Well, that's because I'm the real baby daddy.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, Howard K. Stern, he was trying to appeal the DNA testing. He lost that. Now he's got to pay $10,000 in legal costs for filing a frivolous lawsuit. There's a hearing on the paternity issue today, but because of a gag order, we probably won't hear the results until the end of the week and perhaps beyond. In another paternity case.
Hold on one second. Boy, I'm going to be on pins and needles finding out if Howard K. Stern is the actual biological father.
Won't we all?
The one who didn't want to take the DNA test, and then the one who wanted to ban the results being given out once. Again, people, all you need to know, if you weren't on the crime scene and somebody says, hey, we need a fingerprint and we need a DNA swatch, you're more than happy to give it up. Why? It's going to clear me.
Right. If you think your foot was inside the line, you want the instant replay.
That's right.
I would normally.
Howard's penis was not inside the line.
Sometimes I really do agree with the slippery slope man on this show. I mean, I know he goes too far, but I often agree with his basic idea.
Mm-hmm.
And on this one, I would normally say, you're wrong. The man, whether you're innocent or guilty, has no right to your bodily fluids. Nobody can come to my house and give me a swab of anything if I don't want them to. On the other hand, I have never refused a drug test when I was clean.
Right.
I've given this speech about my rights a million times, but I was also dirty.
Right.
You know, the second I was clean and somebody said, I want you to take a UA, I'd beam.
You're thrilled to.
You ready? Invite some friends in to watch this one.
That's how everybody is.
I got to agree with you on this.
Right.
Well, here's the Chris Rock story. It comes from the National Enquirer, which I've learned from you, Danny, is actually quite a reliable source.
Never been wrong about me, ever. And they've written terrible things about me, but they were right.
Here is what they're saying as of a couple days ago. A former girlfriend of comedian Chris Rock says that he is the father of her 13-year-old son, Jordan. And here's why she's come forward. She's saying that this kid suffers from seizures, and she wants to get some of Chris Rock's medical history that she thinks might help with this boy's treatment. So she's asking him to take a DNA test. She filed papers in Georgia.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Back on March 15th, requesting that he take a paternity test, pay child support, and cover medical costs and attorney fees. Now, here it seems like Chris Rock stayed out of the tabloids for most of his career, and then all of a sudden now, first, you know, he had that movie, I Love My Wife, and then right as that was coming out, there were rumors that his actual marriage was in trouble, but he was trying to hide it because they had this movie called I Love My Wife. He filed for divorce from his wife, and then he rescinded the divorce papers, and now this.
Well, it's funny because he's one of the few guys that is a black stand-up comedian who's famous for using the N-word 1,000 times in one concert, but yet has this sort of reputation of a politician, and somehow his reputation would be damaged by these allegations, which is weird because these things are usually set aside for Republican candidates, not black stand-up comedians who use the N-word 1,000 times.
Right. You're totally true.
So this
How
guy,
would he be damaged?
It's funny, but it is funny, and maybe it's to his credit, that he has the reputation as a very likable family man, yet his on-stage persona is this guy that's, you know, ranting and dropping N-bombs and MF-bombs.
And flat out saying, I hate the white man.
But
you know, most people don't have the balls to actually say.
But he says he hates
whitey and blackie and everyone. The point is when this happens to a rapper who's just dropping N-bombs, you know, when this happens to Snoop, we all just laugh and go, all right, well, there you go. There's Snoop being Snoop. So it is weird on one hand to be this black comic who does this and then have the reputation of the white Republican congressman. On the other hand, seems like he's not taking advantage of his reputation.
Well, we'll see how this shakes out. Again, this is reported from the National Enquirer. He has not commented. She's saying that the first time they slept together was on her 21st birthday and that they only had sex 6 or 8 times, but that's all it takes.
Mm.
Now, here's a story of a mother and her son in Arkansas. A 41-year-old, she was working at KFC, working for the Colonel, and she decided to stage a robbery. So she had her son, a 24-year-old, show up at the KFC around midnight, pretending to be a robber. Just as she was putting cash from the cash register into a deposit bag, there was just over $1,000. And they wanted to make the robbery look very real, even though she was rigging this with her son. So they agreed beforehand.
So she's working the register.
Right.
And she says, son, come in, rob the place.
Right.
I'll fill the kitty with cash.
Yes, but to make it look real, why don't you sock me in the face?
All right.
So they planned
it. Sorry. I was going to say, Danny, you do it. I don't want to walk over there.
And they planned it out. So sure enough, he punched his mom, who was working behind the cash register at the KFC. He stole the deposit bag and her purse, because that's a nice touch, too.
Smart.
He threw the Happy Passover, everyone, by the way, as of sunset last night. He threw the bags filled with money into his car and also her purse, took off the ski mask he'd been wearing, and then headed back to the KFC as though he just arrived to comfort his poor mother who'd been robbed. Well, when the cops got there, they noticed that the kid, 24-year-old kid, seemed a little nervous. So they took a look-see in his car and saw the purse, which gave them probable cause, and they found the cash.
This is a nice, solid plan, one that's probably been done 1,000 times.
I
don't know what you'd do to thwart it. The part where he decides to come back in and hang out with his mom is if the cops would show up and go, you were just robbed?
Yeah.
Where's your adult son? Oh, not here? Oh, then we have our culprit. I mean, why does the guy have to come back in there?
Returning to the scene of the crime is very common.
It is super common. But there was one, I won't say where it was because it's a, I don't know if it's an advertiser, but it's a very nice place. And I wouldn't want it to, it has nothing to do with the story. There was a girl who wanted to sue a huge chain for a lot of money for a lack of security. So she was going to say she was raped in her room. She had her boyfriend beat her so badly that she was almost unrecognizable. She went that kind of distance. And that was her alibi. Nobody, she acted strange right away, they said. But they said nobody would take that kind of beating for money. And she just stood there, and once they were busted and she told the story in detail of how many hits she took and his fist rolled in the blanket so not to leave knuckle marks on him. She just took it and people will go far for money.
Yeah. Also, I feel like
punching your mom in the face,
feel like if we're doing this, like if me and my wife were doing this, where she's like, look, Adam, you're going to have to give me a black eye so we can collect on the insurance. I have to say an intruder. I'd start off with like, no, honey, really, I couldn't. But about halfway into it, once the beating began,
right?
And you don't want to water the pots, my pots, your pots. And there'd just be one big. I'd eventually snap some sort of twig, and then I'd be up for manslaughter.
Go in the jugular.
Right. Listen, I've got one last story.
This is the dried out plant you killed.
Hold on, you know what I'm thinking of?
Yes.
I don't know why. Just honestly, a little Stephen Wright, but I don't know why I trigger this, but Danny was saying a big chain, a popular chain. He wasn't going to say the name, but is there a guy somewhere who works at a store that just sells huge chain? And we just sell anchor chain. And people are like, where do you work? And he's like, a huge chain store. And you're like, I'm your best friend, bro. You can't tell me where. I told you, a huge chain store.
Well, what's it called?
We'll narrow it down. They sell clothing. I know. Is it one of those Kmart? Is it one of those? It's a huge chain store. Buddy, I feel like if you're going to call yourself my best friend, we're going to need to connect a little better than this.
Is anybody else aware that they were this close to was on first?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Briefly, because I know we have to go.
Huge
I'm going to cleanse.
It's admirable.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to cleanse the mental palate from the punching of wives to something nice. Mm-hmm. How about this? You know that Black Eyed Peas song, My Humps?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alanis Morissette decided to cover it.
No. What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk? Come on, get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my arm. What you gonna
I enjoy
do
this.
With all
I can tell you why.
It's a joke, right?
It's a soulful version of my
No, it's gotta be a joke.
I think it's done tongue-in-cheek.
Okay,
make
good.
You scream.
Yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek. Okay. Hump.
That was my hump.
I've gone out this of my way to introduce my wife to that woman 5 times.
Alanis
I mean, I've
Morissette.
Busted down doors. I've begged, I've pleaded because my wife loved her. Mm-hmm. If I went to all that trouble to get her to meet a lady that seriously covered my lady lumps, I'm going to blow my brains out.
What is she talking? Is she talking about her ass or boobs or
ass
what?
And boobs. Depends on whether they're humps and then they're her lumps. Or two different things.
Oh, thank
the
you.
The trunk is also always the ass.
The trunk I got, but I guess humps could be.
Humps, I believe, is also the ass, but my lovely lady lumps. Because
well, maybe,
there are asses on men.
If there's someone listening who's a humpologist,
please let us know.
Yes.
At 866-901-EVAN. Meanwhile.
Or Lycus, who's a Professor Poon.
That's right. Well, me and my humps are wrapping up. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, we were talking a little Howard K. Stern with the DNA and all that stuff. I was watching one of my favorite shows, 60 Minutes, on every Sunday night on CBS. I was watching that and they had a very interesting question about DNA, not about DNA matches, but about near DNA matches, partial matches, which meant it would be a family member. And going after that person. Right. So I put up Bonaducci's DNA. I realize it's not his, but it's so close. It must be his brother's. Do we go to Mexico and get him? Well, there are laws against doing that. And I'm not so sure if those are good laws. We will break down the tape and get into this.
Good, good, good. I'm really curious about that.
Next on, I've never thought about it. DNA matches, but I never thought, well, half... Quickly, crime runs in families. Half the guys in prison, 51% of their family members did time in the joint. So we don't find your DNA. We find your brother, your dad's DNA. To me, good enough, but maybe not in the eyes of the law. Interesting. We'll talk about it next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show. And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy. Today's topic, stem cell research.
Do I believe in the advances of science? Sure. But it's a slippery slope. One day they're using the cells of discarded embryos, and the next thing you know, it's your daughter's 13th birthday, and jackbooted thugs are storming your house and dragging her off to work at government-sponsored embryo farms, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
That was Slippery Slope Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the debate wages on. You guys know what side of the fence I'm on, which is civil liberties versus justice, and then the abuse of these video cameras and the abuse of the DNA and the abuse of everything. Now, my feeling is the government is not inherently evil. They are a huge fire, and they need to keep burning, and they need to shovel money into the fire. They're a business, and we're the little worker bees. And we're the drones, and we're out there, and we pay taxes, and that's what they need. And so we strike a deal with them. Keep society safe, because the day we think commercial aircraft are going to fly into buildings on a daily basis is the day we stop going to work and we stop paying taxes. So put some guy at the airport. I don't care if he has a GED, but put an official uniform on him and have him lean up against a metal detector, and then it'll calm down the little ant farm. You know when you disturb the ant farm, it starts going nuts when you go to the ant hill?
Right.
And you kick it around a little, and they all start running in circles. Well, that's what happens on 9/11. We all start running in circles and going nuts. We stop paying taxes. Wall Street closes down for a couple of weeks. It all. They need us to be calm, and thus they need to catch serial killers, and thus they need to stop airplanes from falling out of the sky.
Right.
We'll remain calm, and then we'll pay them. Now, there's another part of society that thinks the government, once they get us all in a big central data bank, is going to start collecting all of us and putting us into gulags.
They write to me constantly.
I think they would love to do that, except there's one problem with your plan. Who's going to pay for the gulags? They look at us as dollar bills, not criminals. Dollars. I don't think they care about us any more than the militia guys think they care about us. I just think they care about our money. We're like a racehorse to them. They must keep us fed and exercised so we can go out and make our purse.
I agree with you, but...
So, in general, when somebody says, oh, data, you know, DNA database, that's what the government wants to do to solve the crime so we can keep moving, not to lock up taxpayers. And when I turn on the news and I see that horrible cop from Chicago beating the crap out of that 120-pound barmaid, I think, good. They have footage of this guy doing this, and
Absolutely.
He will be thrown in jail based on this footage, because if it's his word against her word, forget it.
Right. I agree with you 100%. Here's my slippery slope moment, though, mm-hmm. and not with the video cameras. I couldn't agree with you more. But when you say government is a business that depends on our dollars, us going to work and giving them our money, what happens if at some point, through a very, and just to get to this, because there's an obvious evolution, they just decide they wish to take it.
The money.
Yeah. They don't get to offer up 50% anymore, it won't do. They give you housing.
They already institutionalized the get-to-take-it part. It's the IRS. They do take it.
Well, they do take some.
Right.
You know, what if they decide, little by little, more by more, that they want more than 50 cents on the dollar from what you make?
Well, they have been doing that for about the last 40 years.
But you do understand my point. The government and any business, when you say a business can go corrupt. Escobar, Pablo Escobar, and Capone probably gave more donations to cities and schools than any other citizen of that time or era.
That's why
they were giant drug cartel runners and criminals.
Right.
So you've got to be very careful that your government that you support with all your money doesn't turn on you.
Well, the thing about...
That's why we get a well-armed militia if we wish.
The thing about the government is it's sort of that boil the frog in the pot analogy, which is if somebody says we're going to raise sales tax 20% tomorrow, everyone goes out of their mind, and now the anthill's running around.
Right.
They'll raise it 0.25%, or they'll say we're going to raise it 1% just until we mop up this Katrina mess, and then we'll drop it right back down again. Well, a year later, everyone forgets about it, and it's up to 9%. That's how it works. They do it very incrementally because, again, they can't disturb the nest. Whether it's a beehive or an anthill, kid throws a rock at it, they all start buzzing around. That's what they don't want. So it'll just ratchet up, and eventually it'll get over 50%. Don't worry about it.
But just so you know, I was not disagreeing with you. I happen to agree with you on this current moment in time. You are exactly right. I just can't judge the future, so I'm offering the devil's advocate of where it could go wrong.
Cameras,
you catch that guy, there's film of it, DNA, you come swab my mouth because I want to prove I'm innocent.
I love you. I love the idea that a crime can be committed with no witnesses in a place where... Formerly, we would have never solved it, except for now we have footage and we can do it. Well, here was the 60 Minutes story that takes it a little further, because I always thought of DNA just for the guy who committed the crime. But what about a family member?
Every state in this country collects DNA from convicted felons and loads it into computer databases, all connected together by the FBI. When detectives find DNA at a crime scene, they run it through that database looking for a perfect match. But sometimes a search yields a near or partial match, in which case it's clear the felon in the database did not commit the crime, but the DNA is so similar, maybe their father, mother, or brother did.
Mm-hmm.
What's the slope guy going to say about that?
Mm-hmm. So now they know... And they know through DNA that it's not the guy, but they know the guy's definitely a blood relationship. So why not go after him? Well, we have laws against that.
Yeah, we do.
And I'm a guy who is always saying I don't like laws. And this is one that it seems like I might like, but I don't like it. because if you're guilty, you're guilty. I'm not interested in civil liberties if you're guilty. I don't care if they go get the rapist brother or the rapist, well, I was going to say sister, but that rarely happens.
The easiest way to do that is if you have a search warrant for cocaine and you kick in a guy's door and there's a dead body on the floor, there's a very good chance if you grab him and arrest him, you'll lose. Because your warrant specifically said cocaine. Your warrant, a warrant doesn't say you can go in and search. It says exactly what you're allowed to look for and nothing more. So you can find handguns. You can find a dead body. He'll beat that very likely because your search warrant said you're looking for drugs. So I'm with you on that. I love that you can solve the crime. I just don't like the possibilities of people coming into my house and saying, a third cousin in Guatemala, I get rights to your fluids. You don't get rights. You have to ask nicely. You have to say please to me.
All right. Well, please give me some of your fluids. Or actually, okay. Please get some fluid out of Danny. Let's hear our next 60-minute clip.
Mitch Morrissey, the district attorney of Denver, Colorado, runs one of the most aggressive cold case projects in the country. On three separate occasions over the last few years, his team ran DNA from unsolved rapes through the DNA database and came up with partial hits.
In these situations, it wasn't a perfect match.
But so close?
Yes, very close.
In all three cases, very close.
Right.
Morrissey wanted the names of those felons so he could investigate their family members. But he was told that FBI policy prohibits states from sharing names with one another unless it's a perfect match.
This isn't car break-ins. These are the type of people that will attack women and continually do it until you catch them.
Yeah, now everyone is worried about people's civil liberties. Well, one of the cases, it's not in this clip because there's just too much to get to, but right. One of them is a poor black man that was in the joint for 19 years on a rape and murder charge.
All about this case.
They did the whole DNA thing. Turns out it wasn't the guy they were looking for. It was the guy's brother. And in this particular state, for some reason, they could go after the brother. They did go after the guy. And after 19 years, the guy that was incarcerated, who was innocent, was let out because of this. I don't think it's a tool just for locking up people. I think it's a tool for getting people that were locked up out. And I've said this, and it's always been interesting to me. There's all the years I did Loveline, there was a pill called the morning after pill. And the folks that were against abortion were also against this pill. And I would always say to Dr. Drew, who would always say it's not an abortion pill, why aren't the people that are against abortion for this pill that could eliminate many hundreds of thousands of potential abortions each year? I didn't understand it, and I feel the same way when it comes to the ACLU. Why aren't you people who do nothing but talk about people that are being incarcerated, then unjustly incarcerated? Then when somebody says, well, how about we get some DNA from those incarcerated people, you go and protest in front of the courthouse. This is a tool you can
to
use.
Freeze people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Numerous people have been exonerated from death row.
Actually, to be honest with you, I've heard more news recently about DNA freeing people than I have at capturing people, because it's gotten so common that the DNA captures people that when you hear a guy that's been in jail for 19 years getting free, it makes pretty big noise now. But as for the morning after pill, I can give you a personal reason that some people believe that. My brother John, who is a choir director, believe conception happens immediately. So anything after
that.
Is
the egg not fertilized by the time this pill works?
Yes, that's the point. But if you believe... But that's the whole thing.
You can
believe that oral is the moment of conception, which I've been trying to talk every woman I've ever worked with into. Yes, for the last 20 years. All right, let's hear our next clip from 60 Minutes.
Let me give you an example. Say we have a hit-and-run accident where someone is killed, and we have witnesses that say this is the color of the car, this is the style of the car, but I only got the first three license plate numbers. Only a partial. What should the police do? Just say, oh, no, it's only partial, so we're not going to do anything. Or should they go to your motor vehicle database, and they may talk to 20 people that weren't involved in the accident at all. And I'll tell you, most of those people are going to tell you, thanks for looking into this because we hope you solved the case.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have the half the license plate, the color of the car, and the make of the car, and somebody's dead, you go find everyone with that car and those three first digits of the license and you go after them.
Yeah, and these are violent criminals that, you know, they Leslie Stahl helped make that point. And when it goes from the theoretical to the personal, I think it becomes much more clear. You know, if you think, like this morning when I left the house and it was dark and I was walking to my car and I suddenly got like a chill, like a scary feeling, like anybody could attack me and it's dark and I'm alone. If I were attacked, I care more about my civil liberties being able to walk to my car than somebody who attacks me having their civil liberties tread upon by checking their DNA or their brother's.
And how about this? And you want to talk about...
No, DNA is the way to go. I mean, everybody's absolutely right here, and everybody should be... All innocent, free Americans should also be willing to do their share, like you should be willing to pay your taxes. You can be disgruntled, but you do... We make a big point about living in the greatest country in the world. You should almost pay your taxes begrudgingly, but with some pride, because it's our taxes, right? Our taxes that make this country the greatest country in the world.
Every April 15th, I would pay my between 8 and 12% that I deemed fair.
Flat 15% when that wrong.
Well, it's not like I'm using any of the public schools or going to that place where they keep the books.
The library?
Library. Doesn't have the word book in it. That's why I can never think of it. The point is I use nothing. I never call 911. I never do anything. But here's my point. If you had a child and that child was abducted, raped, injured, murdered by somebody who you knew was the next of kin that showed up on the DNA database, but your city or your state had a law in the books that said you couldn't go after the brother that was doing the raping, even though we knew
it had to be a family member.
We could go to the same house perhaps and find this guy. But no, we didn't want to infringe on his civil liberties, and then that guy infringed on your daughter's civil liberties by raping her and killing her. How goddamn outraged would you be? I mean, you want to talk about Ruby Ridge. You'd be going insane. We'll play our very last one, and this is when we get back to our, this is from 60 Minutes on Sunday night. This is where the slippery slope part of it comes in, that everyone who doesn't have an argument, this is how they argue. Now, if you don't have an argument that makes sense in 2007, all you do is go ahead and talk about an apocalyptic future of 2035, and that's how you make your argument. And I don't buy that argument.
You talk about an apocalyptic past of 1945.
Right. That's what you do. Yes, Nazis. Here we go.
If the measure of reasonableness is going to be we got the right guy, then every search is going to be reasonable. In the name of solving crimes, let's just start going around and kicking down doors and issuing general search warrants for high crime neighborhoods and randomly searching and seizing people. Because you know what? We're going to solve a lot of crime. No doubt. That will be a benefit. But what's the cost?
I'm actually okay with that.
I'm okay with it. Sounded good.
I live in a high crime neighborhood. Kick down doors and take away the bad people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to Adam. Right. I was asking in sign language if we had time for calls on this, because I don't think you have a real radio show if everybody agrees completely. And I'm running out of ways to fight against Adam on this, because it's just right.
I get the Big Brother thing
in
theory.
I get the danger ahead. But a theory isn't a real argument when a guy's just right now.
But here's how...
running out of stuff.
Here's how people need to argue with these retards with their slippery slope argument, which is not kicking down every door, kicking down the next door neighbor who we know has the meth lab.
Right.
You understand? We did our DNA testing because we thought it was 5107 Elm Street. Well, it's 5109 Elm Street is what we found out when we crunched some numbers. So we're just going to walk next door. You don't want us to be able to do that? I'm not saying kick down every door in the neighborhood. I'm saying kick down one door, the neighbor's door. That's where the brother lives. That's the guy who's been doing the raping.
Then this is the best I can do as...
need brother of the criminal, not brother.
not joking anyway,
yes,
in any way,
both,
here,
yes.
Just to tell you in all sincerity, you know, I'm the convicted felon in the room. I'm the guy that, and I've done it every time. I've been guilty, so I don't have an argument. It's not
so
like
you're
that.
In the DNA bank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And fingerprints. From birth on, there's fingerprints of me. But I just want to say this, then, because I agree with you kick in the appropriate door and you go ahead. But if you happen to kick in my door...
Mm-hmm.
The day I really didn't do it, fix my goddamn door.
That's fair.
Because, well, they don't.
Right. They don't.
They kick in the wrong house and they split. Yes.
Well,
dude, I have been mauled. I am all about the cops because I was a criminal and deserved everything I got.
Right.
I've never pled not guilty. I've never, you know, I've always been in the wrong. So I'm all about the cops and they probably as much as my wife, helped straighten me out. But I've also had real problems and gotten the absolute bejesus beaten out of me and had a very expensive hospital bill and nobody offered to pay it and everybody went hush because a lawsuit was coming. I wasn't going to sue anybody. I didn't want any more problems with the cops, but I didn't do anything and I got almost an $80,000 hospital bill once.
Well, we need to, and not only fix the door, but don't do what they've done in the past, which is kick in the door, grab the wrong guy, and then keep going. Yeah. With it, the phone lines are starting to light up, so I think we'll talk to you about this topic. Talk me out of this. Tell me why this is a bad idea. Now, that's you say, tough. Corolla, you rail against them putting cameras in intersections. Why do you want cameras up on street corners to stop crime? Well, I want the government to stop crime, things that can hurt me, not me hurting myself. I don't want the cameras up to see me smoking pot. I want the cameras up to see the guy who mugs me to steal my pot. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
See, me too. That's what, remember the other day I said I want the ability at least to know I could do wrong right now?
Right.
That I could do. I just want to know I could commit a crime if I really thought it out.
The government spends
I don't want them to wreck that for me.
Way too much time stopping me from getting hookers and stopping me from getting high and stopping me from doing things to my wife in our own bedroom. I don't want them stopping me from doing things to me.
Then you know what you need.
I want them to stop me from doing horrible things to others or vice versa.
Then what you need to complete your plan, my friend, is the cops to be very busy with people doing terrible things so you can do slightly bad stuff that they're too busy to mess with you for.
Well, now my head's going to explode, but call us at 866-901-ADAM. Talk me out of this.
There is another side to this argument, and I think we have some callers who may be able to shed some light.
Again, it's 1-866-901-ADAM.
All right.
All this month on the Adam Carolla Show, your chance to win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Outbook August in April.
Mike August books our talent.
The bar is pretty low.
You book a celebrity on the Adam Carolla Show.
We factor in level of celebrity.
Then you factor in level of performance.
Right. Anyone can win.
$10,000.
Even Mike August.
Mike August, you have something to prove.
What do I have to prove?
Well, you lost last time.
Outbook August in April.
It's your job, man!
On the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. You're all open to the 10 grand. I'm open to the 10 grand. It's not one of these things where if you work for the studio or the station, you're affiliated with CBS, none of that. My money, I'll give it to whoever wins.
A good part of my day yesterday, letting people know that this is absolutely legitimate, that I would like to win, but I think with this many, we have a lot of listeners. I don't know that I'll win, but I just want them to know that. Because they think they all get it's a real contest and they'll win $10,000, but a lot of them don't know that you're really putting up your money. That
yes.
This company wasn't going to, this is no joke. This Corolla's dough.
No, and
I love that. It balls out.
I don't care if the richest man in the world walks in here with 1 second to go in this competition and lights a Cuban cigar with a $1,000 bill and he's wearing a top hat. He's dressed like the Monopoly man. And he comes in here and he brings his best friend that he said, I paid $1 million to come in here because he's a big celebrity. And Al Pacino sits in there and says hi and turns around and leaves. I will give that guy $10,000.
I got the game.
I don't care.
And I have entered hundreds of letters letting people know that that's exactly how this is going to work.
Thank you. Joe?
Yeah?
You're a prosecutor from Los Angeles. We're talking about the next of kin in the DNA department. Should we be able to go after the close match DNA, not the exact match, knowing that it's a family member? What do you say?
Well, I have two things. First of all, going after the close match, if you do a quarter of the DNA, then you have cousins, and not just brothers. And you have whole families, a lot of people that you could put into the system. And then once the DNA goes into the system, then you're tracking people. The alternative is if you have a match, a close match, 50%, you know it's the brother, you're going to be able to get plenty of evidence enough to get a search warrant. You only need probable cause, and you have that search warrant, you have half the match, then you go after the brother, and you don't violate anyone's liberties at all.
Well, how do you get a search warrant and probable cause if you just have a near match in a DNA database?
Well, you have your near match. If you think it's the brother, I mean, you're going to be go to a crime scene. Everyone's seen the shows.
Mm-hmm.
You go in, you maybe have some kind of near match on a hair sample. There's something else. The brother's schedule shows that he was there at that time. He doesn't have an alibi.
Well, but the near match, we have a law that says you can't go do this based on a near match.
Well, what's the law actually say? Does it say you can't actually have the officer investigate the person? I doubt that law says you can't investigate.
Well, what the law says is if you get an exact match, you get to go find the guy. If you get a near match, you can't go find the guy who's a near match.
Well, you can go find the guy if you have additional evidence. And
well, I know, but this is
never offered that.
Where's the additional evidence?
Prosecutor, he has never offered that. You're going to have to, as a prosecutor, you're going to have to stay within the confines of your job. And you can't just say, well, if we had, you don't. He said you have a clear, a close match. That's all you've got. Can you go make an arrest on a clear or get a valid search warrant based on a close match with no other evidence?
I don't know the specific law.
All right, good enough. As a prosecutor.
I know, Joe. I think Joe was confused, but he actually made a good point, which is that, say there's a number of cousins or some brothers, can't you just check their alibis and rule people out, and then there'll be one person that was in that same, you know, area at
I'll
the time?
I bet your families will cover for each other.
And you're checking their alibi based on the search.
Can you do that?
No, that's the point. No,
I mean, I get you can't search their house or car, but can you just ask them?
In our current state, as bad as people think the government is, and I am not one of them. That's why I'm in so much trouble with the crazies. I think the government has our best interest and runs the best country and all that stuff. Nobody wants to buy the government. In my opinion, I'm with Adam. I was just doing my job of making this, you know, showing another possibility. But I think the government goes out of their way to protect the guilty sometimes.
Yeah, Teresa, as far as I know, the law. Law is no going after the siblings, which means no checking their alibi based on what you found in the database. Kenny?
Yeah, see a little box underneath the guy's feet.
Kenny? Oh. Kenny from San Diego?
Wonder what he does. Oh, cop.
That's you.
Kenny? Mm-hmm. Kenny from...
Already.
Trying to guess what he does for a living based on the box under your feet thing he just said. Shoe salesman?
Kenny from San Diego. Let's just listen.
Okay.
On this order here.
Order? Fast food?
Mm-hmm. There's no disconnect on this order.
No.
There's no disconnect. Electrician?
Cable guy.
Mm-hmm. We got one four gang decor plate, one.
Full gang, yeah. He's electrician.
Oh, electrician.
Gang,
all right.
Gang box.
Did I get that first?
This is damn.
I think I got that.
There's a four gang box. There's a two gang box. If you have
I know
a.
Her.
If you have
just
a.
Dynamite.
He's a six ganger. If you have, if you go into your kitchen and there's an outlet,
Adam, no, sorry, no,
I am saying
no.
You will. Ah, here's what I want to say.
You want to talk to that person right there? You don't want to talk about a fuse box.
You go in and there's one switch, one light switch, one gang, single gang,
one gang,
two light switches.
Now the fun
to their
begins.
DNA match,
two gang box. Kenny.
Yeah.
Kenny, you're an electrician?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm actually a parts driver for an electric company.
Uh-huh. And you're talking about gang boxes?
Oh, yeah. I had to
Dude, if you don't start saying the letters DNA right now, I'm coming to your house and killing you. Go!
Quickly. What do you think, Kenny?
Look, I just don't know how long before, you know, how much power are you going to give these cops to start busting in your neighbor's door and stuff? And then, you know,
cops are very reasonable, good people.
Yeah,
the occasional cop goes bad.
You guys live in L.A. of all places. You should know how crooked the cops are.
Yeah, but it's not like we're black.
No, that's not true. You want to bribe a cop, you move to Chicago.
Look,
you safety clip $100 bill.
All right, but here's the thing. The day, like I said, the day the cops are mostly evil,
right.
The day 51% of them are evil, the day the government turns evil against its citizens, it's over, everybody. You and your militia, you and your whatever, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
The day the government really is evil and really does decide to turn on its citizens, the day the majority of the cops, instead of the one rogue guy in Chicago, all the cops or the lion's share of the cops become evil, it's on and it's over. So it doesn't matter anyway. I don't think that day will ever come. Why? Nothing in it for the cops.
Right.
They help collect money for the government that needs money.
And I know you're an atheist, but also there could be the God's retribution factor. The crookedest police department in the world where they're just a big gang.
Right.
Vatican.
New Orleans.
Oh.
And what happened in New Orleans, man?
Because
they're a big gang in New Orleans. They'll beat you and rob you in front of people, the New Orleans cops.
I'll tell you, I had a liberating quickly. Then we got to go to break and we'll get to our March Madness championship. But I was driving through New Orleans with Kimmel on some sort of sightseeing tour, something romantic weekend. Keeps things fresh.
Yeah. Anniversary.
I'm driving in a minivan. The guy's giving us a tour of the French Quarter or whatever it is. He is doing 45 or 50 in a 35. There, I spot a cop car that's ahead of us and to the left. I say to the guy who's driving us around on this tour, hop, the fuzz, you're coming up, you're coming up. See, in L.A., if a cop drives 21 miles an hour on the freeway where it's 55, everyone will 20. Go 21 miles an hour behind him. We're all scared assless of our own police force.
But only because of the ticket.
But in New Orleans, yes, this guy, he goes zooming past the cop, and I was like, oh my God, duck and cover, Kimmel. We get into a reverse 69 position that we do whenever danger approaches.
It's
two armadillos.
It's
can roll.
Think of it as a sort of twisted fetal. But the point is, as I said to the guy, you just passed a cop. My God, we're going to get ticket. And he said, relax. They got real crime to take care of. And I thought, wow. Must be nice. Yes, you're going 8 miles an hour faster than the speed limit. But there's no dead hooker dragging out of the trunk of the car, and you're not doing anything wrong. That's right. You're a citizen, and you're not doing anything wrong. How liberating.
I wouldn't live in a town where they say, you just drove past a cop, and you have a dead hooker hanging out of your trunk, and the guy still says, oh, they have real crimes to solve. I don't live in that town. That's
key,
a party.
Key to the city. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, March Madness. The championship.
Right on.
It is time, my friends. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Cancer Danny sings the hits.
If you've had a bad day, you take it one down. You sing the sad song just to turn it around. You sing it up now, downtown, you need to fly. You work with a smile.
Cancer Danny with Daniel Powder's Bad Day on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, actually, you should have done, so you think you had a bad day. I got throat cancer.
Had a bad day is what we could say to a lot of the March Madness finals that didn't make it because we're at our championship. We have our final two. We will tell you what those are in a moment. T, you tabulated the votes?
Yeah, votes are in.
People went to adamcarolla.com.
A bunch of people in this room know who won, and I don't.
I'm the only one.
I think Felice is the only one.
Well, me and writer Mike Lynch.
Actually, she's the only one who knows and the only one who cares.
Come on, you care.
Yes, that's right. For the sake of radio, I care.
No, I forced it on
here's
you.
Here's what happened. He cared passionately, and then had to scream 6,000 times and try and be as articulate as the last time.
Well,
lost a little juice somewhere.
1,000 people voted. We have our two winners. First, a little retrospective on those who may or may not have made the cut. The journey. Let's get it on. Who's Ty Pennington? And they said, who's Ty Pennington? He's on While You Were Gay or...
Trading Spaces.
By the way, don't ask him.
He is a master carpenter, and he's hysterical. There's certain rules in carpentry. He knew none of them. And it turns out not that funny either. How am I supposed to live off $630? You're not supposed to live off $633. You're supposed to be motivated to go out and work. It's our fault for not asking more of these people. You want welfare? Fine. Here's some Norplant. Stop crapping out kids. I'm doing it for you because I will cut you off at the knees if I pay you just enough to live on. Recycling. It's good for the bottle. It's good for the can. I don't know what that means, and neither does anyone else. They don't care about recycling. They care about us thinking they care about recycling, but they don't care about recycling. If you think you're retarded, you check this box with one drip of your own drool, and we'll put stickers all over your fine automobile. You're here because your country blows whale ass. Make no mistake about it. We're living in America! Well, kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down. I would like like to put a steel-shaped boot on and kick Don Henley in said scrotum for writing this song. And next time, some guy comes in hopped up on coke and wants you to participate in the world's worst experiment in a studio, please, session musicians, throw your guitar down and walk away. You don't like what I have to say? Good. Go back to your country where you're not free. I'm Adam Carolla, and I'm an American. I don't need to read my sun visor when I get my goddamn car every day. I don't need the man invading my life. And all you folks worried about your Orwellian future, it's here. I'm just tired of turning this thing into some sort of cheerleading competition where you have this group representing this school and that group representing that school. Let's join the same team and all form a pyramid. I took my plate off. If everyone took the plate off, we could get this law off the book. Safety in numbers, people. Numbers. The number they want you to put on the front of your car so you can get a chicken-ass ticket. Well, we need to rise up in numbers and remove those. Why are they doing this to us? Oh. Take the seatbelts out of the school bus. Fine. Shut up. When our dad tells us that booze is bad and then takes a swig off a bottle, we don't listen. He's a hypocrite, and that's what the government is. You tie your triple knot, and then you have an extra 4 feet of lace. Do the people in the sweatshops hate us that much that they want us to hang ourselves with our own laces? Have a fat guy put the shoe on, cinch it up, and tie it into a bow. If it worked, send his ass to my house. I'll put the shoe on, and I'll live happily ever after. I'm an American. I'm Adam Carolla, and I'm going to be your next president. Baseball, that dirge that wouldn't die, that 162-game patient that's been hooked up to life support in some sort of hospice-like environment that just wouldn't die so we could collect the insurance and go out and buy a keg, that's baseball season. Put a fork in this turkey. It's done. A big yellow sticker and a kid who's having his head taken off by an airbag in my Ferrari. I don't let kids get near my Ferrari. My Ferrari is my children. My children, they're not even cars. They're barely big wheels. No! Get away! Get away from the Ferrari and put the crayon down! Just name your songs after what the lyrics of the song is. And the only song that has done that is my least favorite Led Zeppelin song, which is Stairway to Heaven. You guys all just close your eyes, and I think you'll know who's in whose hip pocket. I'm Adam Carolla, I'm American. Wow. Powerful.
Quite a journey. Yeah. This championship.
Some would say a long and boring journey. But T.
Yes.
You have, as voted on AdamCarolla.com, our final two because we're going into our championship today.
Thousands of you voted on AdamCarolla.com. But who will be going to the championships of March Madness Madness? Red Turn Arrows. Beat out license plates. And they will be facing National Pride.
All right, so it's Red Turn Arrows.
Taking on National Pride, two number one seeds. And by the way, National Pride coming into this championships with quite an edge.
Yeah.
According to the votes.
Well, I understand that. And I have strong feelings about that, but I'm wondering if the Red Turn Arrow doesn't affect my life on a day in and day out basis even more. Well, I'm going to make compelling arguments for both.
That's what I think happens, is that you get more passionate about one than the other, and kind of, you know, they're not going to AdamCarolla.com because they're not your fans and aren't interested in what you have to say and how you think. Mm-hmm. So I think it's only fair that you give the most compelling argument you can for both topics.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cinch up my hernia truss. I'm going to loosen up on the focus pads.
What he means is I get to let go of it.
And when we come back, I am going to bust loose. I may do what my motherly famously called freak out.
How would I know that?
I'm going to freak out on both these subjects. I ask this. If I have an aneurysm in the middle of this, that my son and daughter know, and I'm talking about the Ferrari and the Lamborghini,
right,
know that I love them, that daddy loved them very much.
And I would just like to say,
love them very much.
An aneurysm during the show. Everybody just immediately break out those Danny Bonaducci Show bumper stickers I had made.
That's right.
Just get them ready. Yeah.
We'll take ourselves a break, and then we will get to our championship of March Madness Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's March Madness Madness on the Adam Carolla Show.
Let's get it on.
After taking out Prince in the first round.
What a blowhard.
Crushing backup Beepers in the sweet, sweet 16.
If a couple of retarded kids get run over every year, that's Darwin taking out the garbage.
Beating safety warning stickers to advance to the final four.
I go into my garage, I see the stickers on every tool. It's all over the cars, it's all over everything now.
And taking out required front license plates.
I was pulled over for having no front license plate. That is a fantastic use of your time, Fuzz.
Red turn arrows.
They started it in that dump Culver City, and then it spread like some kind of crappy virus throughout the land.
Made their way to the championship.
Wow. What's the next one?
After mowing down Bob Dylan.
Yeah, he's a great musician, except for the part where he can't sing, play the harmonica, or the guitar.
The airline classical DJ.
All I want to do is sleep on that plane.
Poker on TV.
This is a sport? How dare all you? You should be ashamed of yourself.
And recycling ads.
Take some of the money that you're putting toward the radio and television campaign and put recycling dumpsters in the apartment.
A dominant national pride stands in their way.
You left your war-torn, fill-in-the-blank asshole to come here.
It all comes down to this. The championship, championship of March Madness, Madness.
I'm doing it for you.
Red Turn Arrows versus National Pride.
I'm Adam Carolla, and I'm an American.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, I was shadowboxing, now I'm tired.
Dude, I was laughing when you first started because sometimes you do different stuff to warm up, but then Teresa noticed when I stopped laughing. Your hook could kill somebody. When you got all serious, that wasn't that funny anymore.
I tired myself out, Shadow.
I thought that might happen too, but I also thought, dude,
I hope you have something left.
That hook would bust you
red
up.
Red turn arrows.
Well, you know, the thing that's funny is I thought that was going to be 18 seconds instead of a minute and a half. It's all left in the locker room now.
Shapiro looks fine.
I overtrained.
Dig deep.
Let's go. Hold on. Let me do that move where I pull my shorts out. That's the best part of boxing.
Down there.
Where a black guy grabs your trunks and sucks them out. I get a little wind in there.
Adam, this is radio.
All right.
That's still good radio.
All right, let's get it on. Let's get started here.
Red Turn Arrows versus National Pride.
Red Turn Arrows. Let's get it on. Look, people, all you have is time. Some people have 80 years, some people have 20 years, but all you have is time on this planet. How much of it do you want to waste in a waiting room that the government has created known as your car? Let me do a quick experiment. Everyone, listen closely. Yeah, that's a waste of your time. That was a waste of 2.5 seconds. The government wastes minutes, which turn into hours, which turn into days. Yes, it's 2 minutes here, it's 2 minutes there. It adds up. Your car becomes a waiting room. What if you were walking and somebody said, stop? And you said, what do you mean stop? And they said, no, don't go any further until I tell you it's okay. And you said, why? It's safe to walk forward. And they said, I've decided it's not. Well, would you be outraged by that? Well, that's what the red turn arrows are, everybody. The light is green. The arrow is red. There are no cars coming, but the government said stop. We're turning your car instead of a mode of transportation. It will be a waiting room. Would you like to read a High Life magazine? perhaps looking at Us Weekly, sir? Because you're going to sit here for minutes, times every day, which turns into hours, which turns into days, which turns into months and years, and eventually you're dead, and the government stole half your life. Now, National Pride. Speaking of the government, yours sucks. Ours is better than yours. Is ours great? I don't know. Maybe we're just C students, but yours failed. You understand? We may be the sibling that's a D student, but our other brother is in juvie. And that is your government. Danny's now blotting my head. I'm sweating profusely. Listen, the word, everybody? Assimilation. Yes, assimilation. Come here, learn our language, forget about your culture. Oh, go ahead and cook your native food. Go ahead and speak your native tongue inside your house. But once you leave it, you leave your front door and you're in the United States. Assimilate. I'm not telling you you have to wave our flag. I'm saying put your goddamn flag down. It sucks. Your country sucks. You're here because your country sucks. Never, never forget that. And I don't care if you hate this country. You should hate your country more. English, mother effer. Just like Samuel L. Jackson said it. From his mouth to God's ears.
English, motherfuckers.
I haven't met God, but I bet when I do, he's dressed like Uncle Sam. And he looks like Apollo Creed entering the ring in Rocky III. I'm Adam Carolla.
Turns out you had a little more gas in the anger tank.
Oh, thank you. Well, I swear, I had to go get the room and get the towels. He was dripping sweat out of his lip, and I thought if he swallows his own sweat, he might not continue at the pace he needs to. I got to block that man.
Listen, appreciate this is critical. You have to vote now. The votes are going to be tabulated, and we will announce a winner before the end of the show. So you have 1 hour to vote. Go to AdamCarolla.com and cast your vote. National Pride, just to review, put down your sucky flag from your sucky country because you're here now,
right,
and this is better. Or red turn arrows, the government is turning your car into a waiting room where you're waiting to die.
That's
wow,
right,
those
everybody.
Are fine and compelling arguments.
All right, now we need to take a break.
Yeah,
we'll
you
come
do.
Back with some news. I need to hit the showers. T.
Yes.
What's in the news when we come back?
An announcement. You remember the case Hold Your Wee for a Wee in Sacramento where the young woman died in a radio contest?
Yes.
There's been a decision in that case. I'll tell you about that. And also a broadcaster that you know well is asking for a $40 million salary next year.
We'll take a big fat salary.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with that on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
One ring to rule, then I'll hang in the darkness, bing ting.
If you said The Lord of the Rings.
One ring to rule them all. And in the darkness, fight them.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ozzy has the most bizarre life in the world.
Yep, I've thought about that. He went to a big premiere with you, didn't he?
He's going to, which is the funny. The conversations I have with Ozzy is like, I'm standing in my kitchen. I'm like, listen, you need to take your crappy pickup truck. You need to go to my warehouse. You need to clear your crap out of my warehouse because I can't get my car in and out of the warehouse because your pile of junk is blocking the entrance to my warehouse. And secondly, have you talked to Travel Worm about flying out to New York for the Tribeca premiere?
Do you think when he was being tortured by Sandinistas in Nicaragua, that he ever thought he would be co-starring in a movie at the Tribeca Film Festival?
Yeah. I'm sure he had a feeling. Yeah. One gets a hunch about it.
Right. You get the left testicle in a vice grip. It's almost the first thing you think about. When they squeeze that vice grip down on the testicle, you think, Tribeca's probably coming up.
Yeah, ba 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 ba, crazy, ba 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 ba, crazy, ba ba ba.
Ozzy thinks Tribeca's a cut of beef, though.
Yeah, but here's the weird thing, and I guess but I've seen your movie in which Ozzy co-stars, and he's very, very good in it.
He's a natural. Well, you want a DI, you get Arlie Ermey. You want a worker from Nicaragua, you get Ozzy. Yeah. All right. We need to move forward, and that's going to be in the form of the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Well, it's March Madness time here on the Adam Carolla Show, so you can go online and vote at adamcarolla.com. Either it's red turn signals, whatever they're called.
Arrows.
Or it's at National Pride. Mm-hmm. But what about March Madness? Well, last night, the Florida Gators repeated as NCAA basketball champion. They beat the Buckeyes of Ohio State 84-75 in what pretty much we all just agreed was sort of a dull game.
Yeah.
Well, we can all agree on that.
Well, you
Danny
were out of the
didn't
room.
Watch it. But the point is
well, now that I think about it, yes, I agree. It was a dull game.
They had an 8-10 point lead the whole game, and each time they knock it down a 6 point, the guy would drain a three and knock it back up to 9 or 10. And they just kept that constant sort of pad between the lead and the guys nipping at their heels, and Ohio State never really got into it.
It's interesting in as much as Florida also won the football title, and in that they repeated, which I don't think has been done since 92 when Duke won twice in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brian. Now, I was mentioning before the break that there was an announcement in the case of the Win a Wii for a Wii contest. Now, this was a contest that took place at a radio station.
If you're going to kill a guy, you should come up with a better name for your contest.
Well, unfortunately, it was a woman.
Well, they probably didn't plan it in advance.
Yes. Yeah, but still, you have a Wii for a Wii and someone dies and now it's in the news. You think they're probably regretting, sorry that lady's dead, and we're not more creative.
Well, in case
felt
you...
felt that way about the Ching Chong thing.
Feelings.
In case you don't remember the whole your Wii for a Wii bit, it was a water drinking contest at a station in Sacramento. And at the time that Nintendo video game, the Wii, was very difficult to come by. So they had people drink as much water as they could, and whoever could hold their Wii would win a Wii. And this woman, a 28-year-old, she came in second and lost her life. Not only the contest, she lost her life. She died of water intoxication. And so she had three kids. Her family sued the radio station, and the Sacramento County DA has just announced that no charges will be filed in the death of Jennifer Strange. They put out a statement saying, quote, she knew what the contest involved when she entered it and had the option to stop or discontinue her participation in the contest at any time. The statement goes on to say she was free to leave and that she was constantly observed. Now, that is in the criminal charges, still pending an FCC investigation into the matter and a civil suit being filed by her family.
This is the greatest mother in the world. Perhaps not the smartest, but the greatest. I am picturing one of my family members heading down to the radio station to drink 40 gallons of water to win me a video game when I was 9. She was doing it for kids. If they had a contest called Roll Over in Bed for a College Scholarship, my dad wouldn't have done it. They said, look, hey, it's over there. Nice KHJ. We come to your house. We set up the mics at your house. We come to your house, and all you got to do is roll over in bed between 6 a.m. and noon, and you're going to get a college education for your young son. Thanks, but no thanks. I sleep on my stomach, and that's where I'm most comfortable. Yeah.
Well, if you'll remember.
My dad's probably enjoying that from the hospital, by the way.
I know. How is your dad, by the way?
You can't be Adam's dad, be in the hospital, and be mad at stuff he says on the radio.
That's a good point.
Can't be related to either one of us and get mad at stuff on this show. You'll kill yourself.
Well, yeah.
He's doing fine.
I'm glad to hear you.
Now, if you'll remember, in the OJ case, obviously, criminally, he was, you know, exonerated, but civilly he lost because it's very different. Now, I'm going to play you some of what took place. It's disturbing, so I do want to warn you. This is Jennifer Strange when she was on the radio doing this Hold Your Wii for a Wii contest. As I just mentioned, the DA announced no criminal charges to be filed in her death.
Jennifer, I heard that you're not doing too well.
My head hurts.
Oh.
They keep telling me that it's the water, that it's my, it'll tell my head to hurt and then it'll make me puke, but
who told you that, the intern?
Yeah.
That's what I noticed over there.
Like, it kind of, it makes you, it hurts, but it makes you feel lightheaded, so I'm not sure if I'm just like...
This is what it feels like when you're drowning. There's a lot of water inside of you.
Oh.
We have a, actually, it's eerie. We have a more eerie clip from my dad. This is the rollover in bed for a college scholarship for your son competition. Here's what it sounded like.
So he lost.
Yeah, we never did get that. I went to Bali and then I got put on academic probation.
I thought the Jennifer Strange story was sad, but that was even more sad.
He just had to roll over and I could have went to an Ivy League school. Full ride.
But he tried.
He tried.
Didn't have it in him.
See, my dad won the contest, beat your kid, beat the system. He just kept whacking me, and all of a sudden I kept going to jail and ended up rich. That's just the way it worked out. Beat your kid, beat the system. It's the name of the Bonaducci's play.
In happier entertainment news, well, or maybe possibly not for some people, Rosie O'Donnell.
That fat bitch! Okay, I'm sorry.
I left you a little room for that.
I heard the silence and figured, why not get the mail?
Well... Let's just say, reportedly, she's making $2 million now. She came into The View, and she made quite a difference to that show, and the ratings are up. Now, according to a report in Broadcasting and Cable, which is a, obviously, broadcasting publication, she is asking for a raise to how much, you ask? $40 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That is what Broadcasting and Cable reporting.
That is a publicity stunt as much as the other thing she says. There are certain economics to daytime television, no matter what kind of hit you are. And it usually comes out to, if you were the only host, $1 million. I mean, yeah, $1 a viewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just about the math on it. So if you're the only host, but you're not the EP, you're just getting paid and you're a hit. Because mm-hmm. 4 million people during the day is a huge hit. That's a gigantic hit, 4 million people.
Right.
You can expect $4 million in your paycheck.
Right.
40 million people mm-hmm. is Friends. It's not even Friends. Friends only has it's American Idol. It's American Idol plus 10 million people.
Getting near the
She's out of her mind. It's not real.
Well, she's denying it, actually. Yeah. According to her, this is absolutely false report from Broadcasting and Cable. She says, quote, I have no idea as to whether she's going to re-up there. We mm-hmm. take a family vote in May. We are going to decide then. So May is upcoming.
Family vote.
Family vote.
So her and her life partner and the 9 kids they adopted
Kelly
are going to take a vote.
Yeah.
You know, I took real exception because there was a partner I had far back in the past of any gender that I didn't like much.
Mm-hmm.
And she went after Rosie O'Donnell because she had a handicapped child. And I defended Rosie O'Donnell. The fact is, Rosie ended up giving the kid back, as I understand it.
Mm. Well, really? Lemon loss.
I didn't know you could return.
Was it within
them.
30 days?
Thirty-day
trial exchange.
Can you go pick up the troubled kid to be this great example to mankind?
Was it
and
totaled
then go,
previously?
We adopted a child some years back. When I walked the child, it pulled to the right.
Yeah,
and his ass wouldn't close, so we had to send him back.
See, that'd be a reason to
I'm
keep
so
him.
Glad you made a car reference, because that leads me into this story about Knight Rider.
Should have said trunk.
Do you guys remember Knight Rider?
It was always a jar.
I don't know where you went.
All right. I don't know where I went either.
Knight Rider? Maybe if I play the theme song.
Knight Rider. Sure. Of course.
David Hasselhoff was the star.
It was a better time. It was pre-AIDS, and we had cars solving crime.
Yes. God, do you remember those days?
Yes.
When the worst you could get was VD, and you could clear it up in an afternoon.
Do you remember the car's name?
Sure. Kit.
That's right. Kit with two T's. Do you know the type of car?
Yeah.
That would be a Trans Am.
Or
Pontiac.
Firebird. Yeah. Pontiac Firebird or Trans Am.
Pontiac
yeah.
Trans Am. 1982. And now it's up for sale. Mm-hmm. The California dealership that's selling it wants $150,000. It doesn't really work as a car because...
You mean it can't really read your mind?
Well, no. It can't solve crime.
It can't be driven because of all the stuff they had to rip out of it, would be my guess.
It's not street legal, right. is
yeah,
what they're saying.
It has a butterfly steering wheel on it. I mean...
It's your Batmobile.
Yeah, you get up on it, it's got a bunch of crappy glitter tape stuck to it, and it's not really worth a damn. But what is? I mean, what about the ruby slippers worn in The Wizard of Oz? You think you'd wear those out for a night at the ball? No, you own those, and they're worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's the way memorabilia works.
They're priceless.
That's right. So, Kit,
get 150 grand, and apparently it has a moving scanner light on the nose of the car, and it hums, and it's got colorful buttons on the dash that don't do anything. I guess they're just props.
From what I understand, you can actually get David Hasselhoff for an extra 80 grand.
I would buy that car, and then I would buy the Dukes of Hazzard car, and I would mate them.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Corvette from Corvette Summer?
Black Hillbilly. What's,
the Corvette from Corvette Summer?
The car that Mark Mark Hamill drove in Corvette Summer, yes.
Like, could you throw in Columbo's car, even though it's a junker?
I don't want to pollute the gene pool with it, with that homeless car.
I love that car.
We don't talk about that one.
Well, the Knight Rider theme.
It's a car that Rosie returned.
The Knight Rider theme is enjoyable, but here's a song that I like. Alanis Morissette redid that song My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. What you gonna do with all that junk? Now, earlier, we were trying to figure out what are humps. Mm-hmm. According to the Urban Dictionary, humps are either boobies or butt.
Mm-hmm. That's the hump. Well, thank God. Fergie has progressed as an artist. You know, now she's doing Fergalicious.
Now she can spell her name.
Sophisticated.
Right,
she can spell her own name.
She's grown, She's an artist.
And just so you know, that we have been proven it is done tongue-in-cheek. There is a video of it, and you can see it on YouTube. Thank you, Ramona, in Canada.
Yes, absolutely.
It's in Canada.
Thanks, Ramona. Yeah.
Thank you, Ramona, for streaming us.
Fergalicious, everybody.
And I hate Canada, too, and I love Ramona.
Hold on, are we playing this, or is this Jack Silver's ringtone? Is he in here, Jack?
Jack's blowing up.
Oh, okay.
Let me get that real quick.
Well, I'm sure Jack's also a fan of J-Lo. She's put out some excellent songs. First of all, she had jury duty. That was a big story. She went to the jury duty, and then the case went away, so she didn't have to serve on a jury.
It didn't go away. It got lost in her ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Got a lot of ass talk
this
in this
is an important party. Announcement about J-Lo.
All right.
What an oxymoron.
All right.
Well, no, this is, seriously, this is a very important announcement, people of Earth.
All right.
Effective immediately. Please do not ever call Jennifer Lopez J-Lo. She says, quote, "I'm not J-Lo anymore. That's all gone. With all the ridiculous stories about tantrums and Egyptian sheets, that's all my past. I am Jennifer Lopez." She goes on to say, "I think as a woman, I've finally grown more sure of who I am. It does seem ironic that it has taken me more than a decade to basically get back to who I am.
I am never going to get tired of this."
You know what's funny? I'll actually kind of give it to her that's the best I can do. But she doesn't deny with all the stuff and the Egyptians. She doesn't say they're made up.
Right.
Because she really, I happen to know for a fact, she had these ridiculous sheets with a 3,500 thread count or something. I know certain facts about her. And she went insane. Like, her house, you had to do stuff for her all the time, like thread counts and Egyptian sheets, and then she'd change her mind in her house and have to be done a certain hemp and stuff every second. And when she did Jenny from the Block, those are all actors, and no one on her block will speak to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually believe that she kind of went, okay, some bad calls, sorry, let me start over, please. Yeah. I don't think I care that much, but I'm going to give her some credit for putting it out there.
People do that. That's a relationship they have with money. When it's new to them, they want to roll in it.
Right.
And they want to get themselves all the big bells and whistles and the gifts and all the diamond studded this or that to let the world know. And then after 10 years of being rich, you realize, well, it doesn't make you happy. And everyone thinks you're an a-hole.
Right.
So then you decide that inner whatever is your greatest thing. And that's what she's trying to capture now. All right. Fine.
Yeah. Well, I only did one really, not even a really big mistake, because my family loves my home. But for me to prove I had money and wasn't washed up anymore and look at my comeback, the only way to prove that visually was my home.
He bedazzled his maid.
And my house is huge, and I feel so wasteful. I don't feel like I make enough money to heat it or cool it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's 5,000 to 6,000 square feet of it empty at any given second. You know, that's what I did that went too far. I went 2,500 square feet and maybe some land would be cool.
Bonaducci's carbon footprint is not only cut into by 5,000 square foot worth of home, but the five packs a day gets you well into the mega stratosphere of the carbon footprint.
The 5,000 square feet is only the part we're not in. That place is huge.
You can see Bonaducci smoking from space.
Yeah.
It looks like the rainforest is on fire.
That was my big mistake, was that one. I resent what it takes to heat and cool that house, and that we don't use it.
Well, you can still call him Debo, but you can no longer call her J-Lo. I'm T. Strauss, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, good news, everybody. Something we haven't played in, it feels like a couple of months, our Hobo Power game. It all started when I decided we had a measurement for everything in life. BTUs and watts and kilowatts and fathoms and knots. And we have a measurement for everything except for stink. And people do a lot of that. Hey, man, this guy was funky. Oh, man, did he smell or she smell or whatever. But how much? How do you quantify? Well, I'll tell you how. Hobo Power. You call us. Give us your story of funk, and I will assign it a number. Remember, 100, hypothetical, no one's ever lived to talk about it, smelled 100. And 50 is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white-hot hibachi. That is 15, Hobo Power. You call up, I'll give you a number, 866-901-ADAM. Also, go to adamcarolla.com and vote. March Madness, we are going to close the polls in about 30 minutes. So do that, and we'll announce a winner at the end of the show. Hobo Power next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time for a little Hobo Power.
Hobo Power is a unit of stink measurement. You tell me the story, I'll assign a number.
Four college kids from Canada were flying back from Seattle. Both planes went directly into a granite wall. We found them after 27 hours of them sitting there burning.
Smoldering college kid flesh. You just got yourself 15 points, my friend. 73.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
You need to forget what the rules were. 50, cat on white hot hibachi.
Right.
25, you must boot.
Right. This isn't totally arbitrary, Hobo Power.
No, there's a method to my madness. And it's just crazy enough to work. As opposed to most of my ideas, which aren't quite
just short
crazy.
Of.
Just short of being crazy enough to work.
Which the problem is, if they're not crazy enough to work, they are, of course, just crazy.
Just crazy. Jason?
Yes, sir?
Let me assign you a Hobo Power number. What is your story?
Okay. About 10 years ago on Memorial Day weekend, I went trout fishing, and I only caught two of them. And, I just left them in the back of my truck. I forgot about them. They were triple bagged in a Ziploc baggie.
Mm.
They sat there for the entire summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found them, they turned into gray soup.
And they were in the trunk of your car or the truck?
They were in a truck, in the back of my truck. It was a 90 to 100 degree summer, which is rare for Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned into soup.
Mm-hmm.
When I took the thing open and dumped it out in a porta potty because I was mad at the other construction crew,
sure,
it really stunk, and it cleared out probably about two blocks worth of people.
Yeah. Well, you played quite a joke on those people, taking your rancid, putrid fish guts and dumping them into an open sewer on a hot day. Weren't you the one who was closest to that action? I mean, there are the practical jokes that end up being practical jokes on your own nose,
right,
as you stand in the porta potty and fill it up. Well, porta potty, what time of day was it? What month was it when you were dumping it in the porta potty? Because now you combine the fish guts and the open sewer of the porta potty.
I do believe I remember it being extraordinarily hot for Portland.
Mm-hmm. So hot porta potty. And again, the fish, I'll give you an 18 or 19 of that, but I'll go ahead and tack on another 10, 15 points for the porta potty. So you're looking in the range. You're looking in about the 31 to 33 range.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not a bad way to get out of the gate.
Sure.
Yeah.
When he stunk up his nose despite his own face and was standing there during his own prank, did he vomit?
No, it wasn't my porta potty. We had our own, and there's another construction site that had theirs, but I had to go, so I ran and used theirs, and they got mad at me for using theirs. So at the end of the day, I put my rotten fish in there for let them have for the next couple weeks.
You're all class, Jason. That's why I miss construction so much.
Thank you very much. It is a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Great to talk to you, Jason.
I know who I want to hang out with when I'm back in Portland.
Yeah, there are two guys on a construction site. There are two groups. They're the guys who speak no English, which is 80% of the guys I work with. Right. And then there's the 20% who do speak English, but you wish they wouldn't. Those are the two.
Wow.
That was a richly hued trout story.
It was a good trout story. I shouldn't have made. No, I didn't mean him. I just meant the guys. Well, I did mean him. John.
Hey. I do pest control.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a call that a skunk got trapped inside of a chain link fence, and it rotted there for about like 3 days, and we had to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, we were going to chop it off, but I just said, I'll just try pulling it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I started pulling it out, and its head was facing my direction, and I pulled it out, and its crap just blew everywhere. And the smell just felt like it hit me in the face. It
All right, now, did it was skunk. Did you get skunk smell out of it?
Yeah, it was skunk, just decaying skunk smell. It was the worst smell I've ever smelled.
Because I learned from that episode of the Partridge Family, you have to take a bath in tomato juice. That's the only way to get the skunks.
Is that where you learned that?
Out. Yeah.
Because I actually knew that before we filmed that.
Really?
Yeah. And by the way, it doesn't work, at least on dogs.
This has got to be a high hobo power, but John, did you vomit?
No, I gagged, but I didn't vomit.
All right.
A piece of the crap just got on my boots, and there was like worms crawling all over it because it was already decaying.
On my boot, how many points did you get?
I'm getting close.
I'm going to give you a 41 just because I'm going to boot myself. Yeah,
because
I've
seen skunk spray, and to have it attached with some kind of matter just is almost too much to bear. My dog got sprayed in the face by a skunk 3 weeks in a row when we first moved to our new house. And the idea of seeing it with chunks, I can't even do this. I'm sorry, go on.
You can't, The thing about the skunk spraying is you can be driving 65 on a freeway and the skunk could have sprayed 3 days ago on the hillside and you smell it as you're driving past. It is amazing. The thing that's funny about skunks, I used to have one that would hang out in my yard. They are well aware of what they have, possess.
They
because when
like
I would
hot chicks that way.
Yes, they know what they've got. I would open my door at night and it was a raccoon or a possum, it would scurry away. But the skunk would look at you and then slowly do its own thing, not bothering to move. And what other little creature doesn't scurry away when you come out? The skunk knows what it's sitting on, literally. All right. You want cat ate bad spaghetti?
That's nice.
Okay,
there's a couple good ones.
Ooh, wait a minute.
Are you looking at Frank?
I'm looking at Frank. Yes, Frank?
Yeah.
You have one that's near and dear to my heart. Go ahead.
Well, I live in Vegas, and my wife and I went to see the grand opening of this nightclub called Raw, which is at the Luxor here in Vegas, and George Clinton and his All-Star Funk Band was opening that night.
Yes.
So we're like, oh, this is going to be great. We'll get a groove on, and it'll be cool. So we go in there, and the band starts playing, and, you know, everybody starts, you know, getting in their groove thing, dancing and whatnot, and then all of a sudden, the man himself, George Clinton, comes on stage, and I swear to God, the smell was so bad of his reeking BO. The guy must have not showered for like a month, okay? We had to move back about 7 rows because we were right up front, and it was just overwhelming.
Look, I was trapped in a studio the size of a phone booth with that smelly behemoth for 2 hours after he won his NAACP Man of the Year award, which is funny because the guy comes in smelling like ass and weed and his hair's out the ear and he's toting his NAACP. And I'm like, yeah, Man of the Year. You are quite a shining example to all Americans, my friend. I hope every young man of color can look at you.
And get a whiff.
And get a whiff of this.
This guy was in the 7th row and smelled him?
Imagine.
No, we were up front and we had to move back 7 rows because it was that bad.
Well, here's what George Clinton has. First off, he's 300 pounds if he's an ounce.
Right.
He is a huge mountain of a man. So there's your funk right there. There's just more of you.
And he wears 9 layers of clothing, which will absorb a great deal of sweat.
I'm convinced some of which he put on in junior high and hasn't taken off yet. I mean, look, here's the thing. When when there's a 150-pound guy who smells, well, imagine what a 300-pound guy. It's like two smelly 150-pound guys and then some. You got the folds, you got the fat, and the then hair. You got the reggae hair. And that hair, your hair, it's a sponge. You know when people go out and smoke or whatever? Or you go to a nightclub.
Right.
You go to a nightclub, people are smoking or whatever, and then you come home and your hair smells like the nightclub. Well, that's what it is. He's wearing a shrub of funk on his head. And then he's got the beard, and then he's got the big ass, and then there may be some genetic problem with the man. Point is 2 hours I was locked in a room one-tenth the size of this one with that funkster. Yes. And there's nothing you can do about it except for rush for air during the commercial break.
How can nobody tell him? If that was your friend, would you say, look, with all love and respect, there's a problem.
I would tape that note to a spear and throw it at his fat ass from 100 yards away like Captain Ahab. No, I couldn't hang out with the guy. I couldn't imagine traveling with the guy. You get in a tour bus with that guy? All right, that's good and funky, but the problem is you're at a concert with the guy. I mean, that's a 9 or a 10. I'm sorry. It was a good story, but I can't give you high points. We got a lot of calls.
Oh, there's one that's so good. Are you seeing the cop?
Found the homeless girl eating a dead dog.
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
I gotta hear that.
All right. We got a cop who did something involving the homeless. I'll give you 10 points if it just says homeless in your title. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to finish up with you and Hobo Power. And we'll give you the winner in the March Madness competition as well. Moments left to vote at AdamCarolla.com. All that next on the Adam Carolla Show. Yeah. Good mouth of God's ears, Jerry. All right. We're keeping that party going known as Hobo Power. I will assign you a funk number. Let's see. We're going to talk to John, who's a Los Angeles cop. John?
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, John. What are you doing right now?
I'm actually getting ready to start work.
What do you do as a cop? What division?
I work in specialized unit, and I deal with people who have mental illness.
Ah, I like that. So, like, when they drop those people off because they don't pay their insurance or whatever at the hospital down in South Central, you come pick them up?
Exactly. We get jumpers and people that barricade themselves.
Ah, cool. Talking people off ledges. And congratulations on the new flashlights. Somebody figured out after 30 years of beating the bejesus out of people with a flashlight that was essentially a 40-pound metal tube and 5 feet long, perhaps we ought to switch to a smaller plastic one?
Yeah, I guess the chief felt that way, that we should change our direction.
I personally disagree completely. I think once a cop has decided he should beat you with something, he should beat you with the heaviest thing he can find.
All right. Well, that's the flashlight.
Until a cop decides to beat you, he shouldn't touch you. Once a cop has decided to beat you, he should beat you as badly as possible. That's his job.
Right, but why not just put the flashlight on the end of the baton, because that's all it is anyway, the big mag light they carried around. Anyway, I don't want to digress.
I want my cops in a fair fight. I want to win.
Well, they may be beating you, Bonaducci. I'm thinking of you. John, give me your hobo power. I'll give you a number.
Okay, we got a call. I didn't, and they gave us the details about the call about a lady eating a dog. I go, oh, this can't be right. This has got to be some misinformation. So we pulled up to the call, and we must have pulled up downwind from the dog carcass, and this thing stunk. I mean, we had the windows up. It was coming through the air vents. We had to reposition the car, get out. We talked to this lady. Sure enough, this dog had gotten hit on the side of the road. It had been sitting out in the sun for I don't know how many days. It has swelled up and bursted. So she was sitting there eating it.
Well, we have a candidate for definitely not a Jew, as well as a hobo power number.
Dogs are kosher for Passover.
Yeah, they do not have cloven hooves.
No, that's bread. No bread for Passover. But this woman, she was obviously mentally ill, yes, officer?
Or hungry.
Correct, yeah, she was mentally ill. She thought she was eating her sister.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Now, did she have a stink to go with the dead dog stink?
Well, I don't know. That dead dog stink just overpowered everything. It's so bad that when we had the transporter, my partner and I were driving with our heads out the window.
All right.
Like dogs.
I would, for this one reason, I would demand a convertible cop car. Yeah. If I was on the beat, I'd be the only guy on the beat with a convertible. Ragtop, they'd call me. I'd be like Nick Nolte in 48 hours. I'd just drive around, but it'd be black and white unit, and my partner would have to hold the rollers up when we got into a police chase. All right,
we ain't
let's
friends,
see.
We ain't buddies, we ain't pals. That's my favorite line for you.
This has got to be a high hobo pal.
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
When the dog blew up from the sun. Yeah. That's what happens.
I'm going to give him a 30 for the dog, and I'm going to go ahead and tack on another 12 points because of what she was doing to the dog. I mean, there's a psychological component here that you just can't get by. And then throwing her in the car and going out there and keeping the peace. I'm going to give him 49 on this one.
All right. Highest one so far.
Highest so far. All right, what do you want to go? Cat ate bad spaghetti?
Sure.
It's not a science, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Travis?
Hey, man.
Calling from Las Vegas. What do you got
yes,
for me?
Sir. All right. We had spaghetti that probably sat on the counter next to the kitchen sink for maybe a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And you know pasta, if it sits for too long, I mean, it has a smell to it. About a 6 on the hobo scale itself. So
right, right.
Cat,
6.
Cat eats the spaghetti. I catch the cat eating the spaghetti myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know... You know, the litter box is upstairs. My room is downstairs. So I didn't know that, you know, she had blown this litter box up.
Yeah, you know, a cat could turn a scented candle into something worse than anything a dog could produce.
Well, then enhanced by the ammonia smell of the urine.
Mm-hmm. But so, into the box.
In the box, and it was on the inside of the box. Now, when I smelled it, it made me gag. Didn't make me throw up. Now, mm-hmm. That's not the worst part.
Mm-hmm.
She has a thing about scratching the bag in the litter box. So when I took it out, the bag broke inside the garbage can, mm-hmm. which now I have to smell every day. It's stuck inside the garbage can for the last 6 to 8 months.
Oh,
it's
God.
The worst smell that you will ever smell. Oh,
he's
right
introduced a new
car.
Thing.
Every
duration.
Morning it wakes me up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I wish I could award points for that. I just can't. I'm going to
go ahead. Yeah, right. Good discipline right there.
I'm gonna give you a 31. We'll do one more. Should we chance the recovered body from Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay. Robert?
Hey, good morning, Adam.
Calling from Vegas. What happened, my brother?
All right. Well, I work for a local funeral home here in Las Vegas, and we get calls all the time, everywhere from people jumping off the hotels to, you know, hanging themselves from the Wendy sign on the main street. I mean,
that's what you call a perk of the job, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we got called to this call, and as we got there, the coroner met us outside, and he told us that, you know, it was a pretty bad one, kind of, you know, if you need to stick the Vicks up your nose or put on a mask or something like that, do that.
Mm.
Do that now, and, you know, kind of prepare us for what we're about to walk ourselves into.
Yeah, they do that thing that they did in Silence of the Lambs.
That's where I saw it.
My wife does that with oral shit. but you just rub that Vicks right under the nose.
It's
so nice.
That's what I learned about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, sometimes you actually got to clog your nose up with it just to keep the smell out, because sometimes it doesn't work. So we walk in. And as we walk in, you know, you can see the gentleman has been there for, I don't know, a good week or so. And we confirmed it with the coroner that he'd probably been there about 10 days or so.
Mm-hmm. And there's where?
Here in Las Vegas.
In his apartment, in his house?
In his house, yes, mm-hmm. sir. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you could see a lot of, you know, fluids and everything. I mean, his body was completely, it wasn't good. Out here in the heat, you got to understand, like, the maggots and that stuff, they come within, like, 2 days. So it was an absolute mess.
Young or old? Was he young or old?
Goodbye!
He had to be close to 6 years old.
All right, well, now I'm going to vomit.
He stunk a little bit before he died.
That's what I'm saying.
And I got to say, I've said this many times, I would not take him out of the house. I would walk calmly over the stove. I would rip the gas feed line that fed the stove, and then in slow motion, and again, only in slow motion so we can assure there's combustion, I would flick my cigarette butt in slow motion. And as I walked away from the house in slow motion, you would see the entire thing go up in a ball of flame.
Yeah, perfect.
That's how I would do it. All right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The worst part is yet to come.
Oh, my God.
We make our way to the living room to where the gentleman is laying. We notice that he
you know, he was, you know, in a wheelchair at one time. He had fallen out. He couldn't call help. And that's actually how he ended up dying, you know, at the time.
Yes.
Everything, we looked around and we noticed that everything that could possibly be filled with anything was filled with human feces.
Like an AM radio that's been shoved in my head and I can't turn off.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and just award the crown to you.
Wow.
Robert.
Did you see this caller from Seattle, Jesse?
Just threw up a little in his car. I know.
We're doing a great service.
Jesse?
Yes, sir.
You just chucked in your mouth while you were driving to work?
It was about Egg McMuffin, half a hash brown and some coffee, and I don't know where I send in for reimbursement.
Yeah, you're right.
But you actually get some points as if you played.
Yeah, we should definitely refund you the $3
that
you spent
on that.
That
is an unhappy meal.
All right. We need to take a break. We have now the answer. The winner of March Madness. That's right. And we will reveal it next on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, we have results for you on our March Madness. I don't know what they are.
I'm going to write down my bet.
But T
yes.
does.
Lots of votes came in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lots of votes came in. And by a convincing margin, almost a landslide, the winner of March Madness. National Pride.
National Pride. That's right. Spelled national with two O's, but either way, we knew what he meant.
As long as you know what I mean when I spell.
National Pride. Looks like Mike had him going all the way. Straight through. I'll tell you, I've said this about Mike Lynch, our writer, many times. He gets his ass kicked in every facet of life except for the hypothetical gambling part of life. When there's nothing on the line, Mike comes up a winner each and every time.
If he just won a bet and gets nothing, how did he actually win? Don't you come out even a bigger loser for not putting money down?
Playing for pride.
It's a little, and again, very little
pride
something called satisfaction. All right, now that that's over and he's won nothing, we can move on. How
Dude,
many
it
votes?
It was amazing.
1,300 votes, and a national pride won by a few hundred.
God bless all you, by the way, for putting in 1,300 votes in just a matter of 30 or 40 minutes. We know it was last minute. We appreciate you hopping on the computer. We'll take an extendo break. I want to thank Ice Cube. Are we done yet? In theaters on Wednesday. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Duck and cover, Kimmel.